be engulfed by the smokescreen of the ongoing ICE raids and the anti-ICE protests.
This is not just about resistance here in Minneapolis. It's about love. So you've got people uniting and coming together in this beautiful way.
After the shooting of Renee Good, the coverage of ICE on CBS, NBC, and ABC was 93% negative. 93% negative is not journalism. It's tribalism.
Let's keep our eye on the ball.
How high up do you think the message went that there was fraud? Do you think it made its way to the governor's office?
I struggle to believe it didn't. I have to believe that the governor's office and Keith Ellison's office were aware of this. They've said they were involved in helping the FBI. They've said they were made aware.
Mr. Dexter, could have something been done about this earlier?
Yes. As I stated in my opening testimony, in the years that I worked there, we identified how fraud was occurring, the loopholes that existed, and we...
What were some of the warning signs, Mr. Dexter?
Well, the fact that part of our job was to go and collect attendance records. We would find attendance records that were either incomplete, non-existent.
But I can't understate it how frustrated Minnesotans are right now with the level of fraud and the lack of accountability. Assistant Commissioner Moore said that through the SWIFT system, through your accounting system, you know who you're paying. You know the people who you are sending money to. You know their name. You know their business. Frankly, you probably know who they're connected to. And through the tools across state agencies and across all of the executive branch, from business registrations to what they have to file with the Attorney General's office, all of those tools exist. So why are payments continuing to people who have been convicted of fraud?
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's inner circle has been riddled with explosive ties to one of the biggest fraud heists in American history, the $250 million Feeding Our Future scam.
The brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color.
Three of Frey's own appointees got nailed. Former senior policy aide Abdi Nur Salah pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Shamarke Issa, twice handpicked to chair the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, copped to wire fraud and restitution in the millions. Abdik Kadir Inanche Muhammad, tapped for Frey's community safety work group, faced indictments in the same rotten scheme. Add in campaign max donations from at least eight indicted players, plus Frey's own wife, Sarah Clark, lobbying at the firm that shielded Feeding Our Future itself. And you've got a tangled web of proximity, appointments, and unanswered questions screaming conflict and cover.
Look, the fraud's real. We've all got to acknowledge it. The fraud is very real. And by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it. You charge, you prosecute, and yeah, you put the person in jail. As an individual, you put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
Frey claims ignorance and distances himself. But how long can the distraction go on for this city under siege by its own local and state government?
Who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement?
John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShow.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. Been a crazy week. We're playing catch up, though, of course, keeping you up to date with the latest going on all around the world. We've got a lot to discuss here. The president kind of has a busy schedule today. It's not as harsh as the days prior, but President Trump will be participating in a print interview at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Now, no word as to what outlet that is. Then later at 3 p.m. Eastern time, he's expected to sign some congressional bills into law. And then he will be participating in a meeting with the commissioner of U.S. Social Security Administration at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then finally, he'll conclude his day at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time by participating in something called policy time. That's what's on his schedule for today. So we'll keep our eye on that and see if anything does come about it. But man, oh, man. I'm going to be a little optimistic here. There was a glimpse of hope yesterday when the DOJ decided to use its powers for good and not bad. This time they decided to round up three of those protesters that went to that church outside in Minnesota. They rounded them up and they had them arrested. These are the three individuals who are now facing charges, criminal charges. The FACE Act obviously being a big one here, but these were all people who didn't really care. Nakima Armstrong is one of those individuals that was apprehended, and she was very brazen, of course, prior to being arrested. She was doing a lot of media, and in clip one, you're going to hear her explanation as for what happened inside of that church to CNN yesterday. Take a listen.
And I do want to correct something that was said in the beginning. We did not rush into that church. We actually went and sat down and participated in the service. And after the pastor prayed, that is when I stood up and asked him a question in response to his prayer. And then he responded to me. And then I proceeded to ask him about Pastor David Easterwood and how is it possible for him to serve as both a pastor and the director of ICE for Minnesota. And instead of responding to me, as soon as I said the name David Easterwood, the pastor says, shame. Shame. And that is when I led us in chants, justice for Renee Good and hands up, don't shoot. So I want to clarify that. We didn't rush in. We didn't bust in. We were a part of the service until I got up and posed that question to the pastor.
That's her defense, that she was a part of the service and she was going to pretend now like she allowed the service to go on. But we also had unraveled that day when they were told to leave. They decided not to leave. They did not belong there. That is not their church. It was the last time any of them have actually been to church. I'm sure we'll find out during the criminal trial, of course. Now they're all claiming, you hear Don Lemon, I'm a Christian. That's not how believers actually behave. So good on the DOJ for finally getting involved in all of this. Also, speaking of Don Lemon, it's worth noting that there was a federal magistrate judge who refused to sign off on that arrest warrant for Don Lemon. Douglas Miko is his name. Him and his wife apparently might have very close ties over to the AG's office. This is according to Bill Mnuchin, who's out here reporting that his wife, that's the magistrate judge, works as an assistant attorney general in Minnesota's attorney general's office, Keith Ellison's office. So that's where she's at. Of course, guys, that's a conflict of interest. Now, a normal judge would probably, just to be safe, would punt and say, all right, this is obviously a conflict of interest, so we want no part in any of this. That's what a normal judge would say, but no. Mm-mm. Now, I'm sure the DOJ, given the fact that this is obviously very high profile, and I did see a video of Don Lemon ranting, saying, I'm going to keep doing journalism. That doesn't do journalism. He has no idea what journalism is. He had embedded himself in what he called an operation, not a protest, an operation. Don Lemon needs to get rounded up too. Don't care what your liberal judge decides to say. Nah, I'm not signing that. Go to another one. Democrats were the masters of this. They knew exactly what judges to ask favors of. Why is the current DOJ not playing by the old rules? The old rules are you didn't like what one DOJ or what one magistrate judge does. Take it to another one. Keep bouncing around until a judge will give you what you want because they comply with your abuse. That was the old rule. Now this isn't even abuse. In fact, all of this is warranted given the fact that we watched the Biden regime round up peaceful protesters outside of abortion clinics for political gain because why? They were upset that Roe versus Wade was overturned. Apply the same set of rules. These people are cons. These people are cons. We've also got a couple of mugshots. And again, these people in these mugshots have been doing a bunch of unhinged interviews. I'll play one later in the show for you, but not a good looking crowd. Not a crowd I'd ever find myself hanging out with on a Sunday. But clearly individuals suffering from leftist derangement syndrome. I mean, that is exactly what's going on here. These people are out of their freaking mind. So good on the DOJ. There's, you know, claims that there's going to be more arrests. Don Lemon needs to be one of them swept up into all of this. How quickly he bows out. Oh, I wasn't a part of the protest. Let's see those text messages, Don. Were they orchestrating it? Were you involved in that? Were you told where to go? You see, if we apply the same set of rules, you're going to have your home raided. Why? Well, because they did it to James O'Keefe. And James O'Keefe is a real journalist. He actually exposes things. But if you want to pretend to be a journalist, cool. Let's just play that game. Give him the James O'Keefe treatment. Raid his home. Raid the homes of his employees. And then when they ask for an explanation as to why you even were able to secure those warrants, give them a heavily redacted document and tell them to have a good time at that. And then if you really want to have a little bit of fun, give them the Steve Baker treatment, right? Because Steve Baker was rounded up for his coverage of January 6th going into the Capitol that day and filming. So what'd they do? Well, I was there for it. Our federal government took Steve Baker, slapped cuffs on him, put him in ankle bracelets, and dragged him off to court with a bunch of criminals. Why? Because he was reporting from inside the Capitol that day, and they didn't like his reporting. So what's happening here? Well, Don Lemon deserves the same exact treatment as others received, because they didn't stand up for them when it was going down. So do it. Do it. Find a magistrate judge that will sign off on your warrants and send Don Lemon packing. Why not? Folks, later on in the show, too, we're going to talk more about this and the legal side of it with Robert Gouveia. He'll be joining the program. As many of you know, he's a criminal defense attorney. He's also the host of the Spotlight of Justice, and he'll be joining us to break down the legal side of all of this. Also be joined by Alex Rosen as well in the next hour and Mel Kay in the third hour of the program. So we've got a lot going on over here. But I feel like we've got to call out a lot of the fraud that's going on. And when I'm talking about the fraud specifically, I'm not talking about the dollar amounts that have been stolen from the American people. I'm talking about the fraud that's being printed and pushed out through the propagandist mainstream media. Those who are sitting here, don't ask the simple questions as to, well, how do we arrive at this one point? There's a bunch of stories that they keep trying to push. And I warned you guys, as soon as President Trump was elected, they were going to find any little story that might be able to pull at your heartstrings when it comes to immigration. And they were going to put it on blast. And they could keep doing that. They keep doing that. In fact, there's a 5-year-old who they're trying to cook up this fake narrative about how a 5-year-old came home from school in Minnesota and he was quickly arrested by ICE with his father and dragged off into federal custody. What they're also trying to say is that 5-year-old boy was used as bait to get the father to come out so they could arrest the dad. First off, father's a criminal legal alien. Okay. Just so you know that that's what we're hearing from DHS. The second thing we're hearing from DHS is the mom is also an illegal alien. Yesterday on X, DHS came out and said, oh no, the actual father abandoned the son at first. And then when we were trying to get the mother and also said, hey, we're not going to arrest you. Just take your son. Like, we just want to make sure he has custody. You don't have to bring him to federal custody. What happens? Well, they quickly couldn't get the mom to come out. By the way, this article here that you're seeing on your screen shows how much of a concocted narrative this is. This is a 5-year-old girl, completely different story. Well, last year, they tried doing the same exact thing. They tried to say that, oh, ICE agents rounded up a 5-year-old girl and dragged him off to prison, dragged him off to ICE custody, whatever it is. That's what they keep trying to push out there. Again, they are just looking for anything that catches your attention and goes, let's not enforce our immigration laws anymore. So here's how the mainstream media is reporting on this. I'm going to play clip 2 for you because this is how ABC News broke this down for their audience yesterday. Take a listen.
Tonight, the haunting images sparking a firestorm. A preschool boy standing in the Minnesota cold swept up in the ICE crackdown. School officials say 5-year-old Liam, wearing his blue hat and backpack, and his father, Adrian Alexander Conejo Arias, had just pulled into their suburban Minneapolis driveway Tuesday when agents took that father into custody. The school then saying an agent essentially used the 5-year-old as bait, directing him to see if anyone else was home before taking the boy away. The district saying Liam is among 4 students recently detained.
The sense of safety in our community and around our schools is shaken, and our hearts are shattered. And honestly, at the end of the day, children should be in school with their classmates.
But DHS telling a different story, saying ICE did not target a child, claiming Liam's father is an undocumented immigrant and fled on foot, abandoning his son in the driveway. Tonight, during a visit here in Minneapolis, Vice President J.D. Vance saying the agents were protecting the child.
What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to let a 5-year-old child freeze to death?
But the district says multiple people on scene did offer to take the child, but were refused. Vance broadly praising the work of federal agents, saying the vast majority are doing excellent work. But for the first time tonight, the administration telling me they are willing to discipline ICE officers, quote, when justified.
Somebody did something wrong. Yes, they're going to face disciplinary action, but we're not going to judge them in the court of public opinion.
Vance saying he's trying to ease soaring tensions amid furious protests. Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Greg Bovino tossing a smoke grenade into an unruly crowd. Agents pinning this person to the ground, this stunning image of the pepper spray at close range.
And David, tonight, the chilling image of that little boy standing out in the cold, striking a chord with so many here. The family's lawyer saying the boy's father did come to this country legally. And David, tonight, we've learned that both father and son are being held together at a processing facility near San Antonio.
Okay, they're saying that the father came here legally. We need evidence of that. And if he was still living here legally, those are the key words, though. He came here legally. But what does that mean? Does that mean he came here and applied for asylum? Is that what they're trying to claim? And again, folks, you heard it there, okay? The father abandoned the child to go run off to get away from ICE. That's what they're alleging, right? Then you hear the follow-up, too, which didn't come, obviously, from ABC News, but came from DHS. DHS coming out and saying that we actually tried to give the alleged mother custody of the child, of her own child, but she refused. Because she refused to come out of the home. So they abandoned their child. They are leaving that part completely out. They don't want you to know that. And then ABC News puts this point in. Multiple people on scene want to take custody of the kid. You mean strangers, left-wing liberals wanted to snatch a child up and take them into their home? Imagine if federal agents were just giving away children. I guess the Biden regime is doing that. But imagine, right? Oh, we don't, the father's getting taken away. Lefty just comes over. We'll take custody. Okay, here you go. Rainbow-headed weirdo, take the kid. Have fun. It doesn't make sense. Why would ABC News even put that into their piece? Well, because they want to pretend and spin up this narrative that ICE is out there doing egregious things. Look, somebody wanted to take custody of the kid. They didn't hand it off to this stranger in the street. How dare they not do that? How dare they? That's not journalism, folks. That is trying to very much so spin your own narrative. They're all full of it. They're all full of it. And it's really frustrating to sit back and listen to because they just continue to go out there and spew lies. They've got nothing but lies. Even Kamala Harris jumping on board now and she's spewing lies. Trying to again drum up the narrative that this Ramos 5-year-old kid was somehow, some way used. Thankfully, though, Trish McLaughlin, who is probably one of the best spokeswomen that you're going to find in the communications world. I always say comms, but some of you probably don't know what that is, the communications department of these companies. She's by far one of the best. She's been going out there and fact-checking every single person's page because, again, why would ICE, knowing how controversial things are right now in Minnesota, why would they use a child as bait? Doesn't make sense when they know that they're trying to win a PR war here. But the mainstream media, the politicians, everyone's on their side. So they're going to go spin these narratives how they want to. By the way, also, this screenshot, I guess this would be a tweet. Democrats, it's their official page, keeps pushing that lie, that same exact lie. And a five-year-old coming home from preschool had been used as human bait. His teachers describe him as a bright young student. These monsters are sick. They weren't sick, though, when Barack Obama was doing his mass deportations. They weren't sick then, but now they're sick. Now they're demonized by Democrats. It's just, it's so insane that we've gotten to this point. And it's getting even worse, right? Because now we have these communist Democrats who are trying to convince the American people, of course, that non-U.S. citizens who are here illegally, that they too are Americans. And you can't even argue with them on this front because they believe this. They truly believe this. Democrats like Maxwell Frost, the communist from Florida, take a listen to clip 4 and how he tries to justify that everyone's an American if they want to be an American.
The reason I released the video last week informing my constituents about increased ICE presence in Orlando, where there's a huge Haitian diaspora. We're very worried about the targeting of our Haitian brothers, sisters, and siblings across the entire country. And us as a community, we have to band together to protect Americans. And you're an American regardless of what your legal status is.
That's not how it works, you moron. That's not how it works. You are not an American. You can't just come into our country, invade, and then think that we're going to allow you to stay here, and then pretend like you're an American citizen. What's Frost hoping here? He's hoping you're just as stupid as he is. He's a communist pushing his agenda, and no, they are not our Haitian brothers and sisters. They are people who were intentionally brought into this country, by the way, for the Haitian cause by the Biden regime, flown in, actually. Because they were trying to change communities, demographically, of course. And so they were strategically brought into this country and put in areas they don't belong in because they have no roots to these areas. Because what are they trying to do? Well, they're obviously trying to change demographics of this country. And that's exactly what they did. So don't hit me with there are Haitian brothers and sisters. No, they're actually foreigners who need to go back to their countries. And it gets even worse. There's this woman out there. Nasara Ahmed, a 23-year-old U.S. citizen is what they're saying. And I did ask the DHS for comment. It was kind of last minute, so I'm still waiting to hear back from them on this front. But apparently she was arrested and detained by ICE. And you got to listen to her story because her story is quite laughable. Take a listen to clips 5.
They kidnapped me. They took me. They arrested and detained me for 2 days, and I was put in county jail. ICE came. They came out of their cars. They asked me to see my ID. And while they were asking me to see the ID, that man, he called me the N-word. They pushed me hard. They used a lot of violence. My body still hurts. I got a concussion. It's really hard for me to speak because of that concussion. And I was screaming. I was crying. I was so scared. I've, like, never been arrested in my life. I don't have, like, a criminal record. I have a clean record. I was literal cuffs put on my legs, cuffs on my hands, and I was actually detained with a Native American woman. And God bless her heart, she went through a lot too. She was also detained by ICE, and she was also a U.S. citizen, and like me. And she had gashes on her face. They shattered her windows. She had blood on her jeans, her corduroy jeans, and she was crying because she was so scared that, because she was with her dog, she was so scared that her dog got hurt. She was so scared for her life. We were both crying together. We were holding each other tight. And I'll never forget, like, the fear that we both felt in our hearts that day.
Well, law enforcement has just released the photo of the two federal agents that called her the N-word while beating her up. And here they are on your screen, folks. All right, that's a bad joke. But the reality of it is this is all fake. This is all fake. The theatrics is fake. I did ask DHS specifically for her background. Why was she apprehended? I'll let you know when we find that out. But folks, come on. We've seen this time and time again. We're done with these fake empathetic stories. Why did ICE have to detain you? Why did the federal agents have to detain you? There's probably a reason why. You see, they keep saying, oh, Americans are being arrested. Well, Americans. And again, we don't know what her situation was. We're still waiting for details. But I could promise you this. The Americans that are being arrested because they're being jerks. Because they're trying to inject, and jerks was the better choice of word than what I was actually going to say. They're being arrested because they are trying their very best to stop ICE from doing their jobs. And it's all intentional. This isn't an accident. They are actually there for a reason. They are there for a reason. They are there to try to stop ICE from doing their jobs, to try to intimidate them. But the American people voted for ICE to do their jobs. We're not going to sit here and bow out like they did in the BLM riots. We're not going to sit here and pretend like these people have a backbone to stand on, like these people are fighting for truth. That's a load of garbage. That's a load of garbage. And the vilification of these ICE agents, which is so wild to me, considering the fact that when they were doing their job just a few years ago, no one had a problem with them. But now they're demons. Now they're demons. Now they're Nazis. People like Eric Swalwell in Clip 7, they just love going out there and consistently spewing lies. Eric Swalwell never gets fact-checked in live time, and it's really frustrating because he's not very intelligent. So if you wanted just a viral clip, all you had to do is ask him simple questions. But that doesn't happen on CNN, on MSNBC. So that's why he goes there, because it's a safe place. Take a listen.
So we're watching what ICE is doing with her own eyes. We saw that woman be shot with her own eyes. And what I've said as governor is I will use the powers of the office. If you're going to wear a mask as an ICE agent in your state, I will take away your driver's license. If you work for ICE, you will be unhirable in the state. If you're going to work for fascists, forget about working in the state. So we are not weak. We have to go on offense. Otherwise, the most vulnerable in our communities are on defense. And I urge every governor to start protecting their people in their state that way.
Do you think every ICE agent on the streets is a fascist?
I think that if you continue to work for them now, seeing what they're doing, dragging women by their hair through the streets, deporting a four-year-old, battling stage four cancer, and shooting a mother in the face three times, if you still work for them, that's a choice. No one's forcing you to do that. I don't want you working in the state.
You can't work in California. Sure, that's going to be very upsetting for ICE agents. Yeah, they shot a woman in the face three times, according to Eric Swalwell. She was actually shot four times, but facts don't matter. But she also caused an agent to get internal bleeding, which only happens when you use your vehicle as a weapon. Otherwise, it doesn't happen without there being an actual a reason. It's so frustrating that these are the people who make their way into Congress because they're really, really dumb. They're really, really dumb. And in fact, Eric Swalwell is hoping for a promotion, and he's doing just that by running for California governor. Californians are dumb enough to vote for him. Why not do that? Or they decide to steal an election. It's not going to look good for California if that guy gets into the office. But I said the same thing for Newsom. They're still standing, barely though, but they're still standing. So good luck to California on that one. All right, guys, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have incredible deals, various amount of discounts heading over to the shop right now. T-shirts, 25% off. So are the hoodies. Hats are 20% off. And when it comes to your favorite vitamins, well, you could save up to 45% off on some of your favorites. Other discounts do vary, though, as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the savings that are going on right now. And we'll be right back with more to discuss in a little bit.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity. Focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy, there's three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle. And so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychological. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Just so you know, in the second hour of the show, we'll be taking your calls. So if you want to give us a call, talk about stories we've discussed thus far throughout this week, I guess I could say, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you could call into to chat with me and our audience. So give us a call if you want to join the show. All right, folks, I wanted to bring your attention back to a story that we discussed earlier this week. It has to do with an individual who just happens to have the middle name Jihad. He did a horrific, horrific, horrific attack, murdered three innocent men who were here as just tourists in Florida. We're here in Orlando, I guess I should say. So not here technically, but I'll be in Florida in a little bit. But the story itself is just an absolute tragedy. This individual was acquitted prior because they didn't think he was mentally capable of being able to be held accountable for his own actions. This is something, too, that has a lot of people very frustrated because this could have been preventable, right? These three people would still be alive today if, you know, people did their jobs. If people stopped having empathy for individuals like that. Keep in mind, originally he was charged with shooting at another person in a gas station. So he's got the record for this. Okay. Went out, murdered three people, stalked them prior, and it's an absolute horrible situation here. Now, this happened in Orlando, and the state attorney over there, Monica Worrell, is an individual who is trying to, and I could be nice and say that she's not trying to directly do this, right? She doesn't maybe have a conscious effort that she's putting into this. Or I could be realistic with you and I could say, this is just another liberal who's trying to make excuses for a horrible human being who shouldn't even be in this place. And by this place, I mean this country, this world. When people do heinous crimes like this, and we ignore the earlier signs of all of it, there's always signs. There's always signs. And he has a record. He has a record. Before I play the state attorney's comments, I want to remind our audience that he has a record. According to the local sheriff over there, they've apparently received 41 calls to his home. That's from 2006 to 2022. 16 of those calls were about aggressive behavior. That's according to local reports. So obviously someone not mentally well, middle name Jihad, you probably didn't give him a good running start at life, Mom. But the attorney had this to say in regards to why he no longer was getting the mental help that he was supposed to be receiving. Take a listen to clip 8.
Now, I have researched into this case since the latest event has taken place. And what I found is that individual was sentenced to conditional release. And that conditional release was that he would continue treatment with an outpatient community partner. My understanding is that treatment was originally costing $7 a month. And that after a period of time, that $7 a month bill went up to $150+ a month. And that the individual was no longer in compliance with his treatment because of inability to pay for that treatment. And now here we are with individuals who need mental health treatment and don't have access to that treatment. Bad things happen. And that's what we're dealing with. I want to be very delicate in how I talk about this because we can never overlook the fact that three people are dead. Three families are grieving. And this is not an opportunity for political discussions.
Oh, now's not the time for political discussions, but you had no problem doing that in your lead-in. Because obviously she's liberal. I mean, it was very obvious, right? She wants you to empathize for an individual who just killed and murdered, executed three innocent men. So she wants you to feel bad because you couldn't afford the $7. He couldn't afford the $150. He couldn't, it got too expensive for him. Cut the crap, lady. Cut the crap. My empathy is with the victims and not the suspect. See, that's the difference between the rest of us and liberals. Liberals always want you to be empathetic towards suspects. Oh, he couldn't afford treatment anymore. The three victims, they're just collateral damage. And who even needs a criminal defense attorney when you have prosecutors like that? Prosecutors that want you to be empathetic towards the suspects. Three men just enjoying their vacation, brutally murdered by an individual whose middle name is Jihad. By the way, we still don't have motive, in case you're wondering. We still don't have motive. But this is why it's just so painful to deal with these liberal prosecutors. I hear story after story. Everyone reaches out to me about what's going on here in Austin, about all the liberal prosecutor here who's running the show. By far, one of the worst in the country. Probably, I'd say top. Murder charges get reduced down to nothing. Slaps on the wrist because you're a kid. Come on. You murdered someone. Who cares? These prosecutors are the problems. And the problem is also, I mean, this is a red state. Texas is supposed to be a red state. Florida's a red state. Start getting rid of these people. Governor DeSantis did it once. It was good. We liked it. Let's keep it going. They shouldn't have these positions because they don't want to actually equally apply the law. They want to apply the law based on their own personal beliefs, which is liberalism, communism, Marxism. Whichever angle these people are at, that's where they're spewing this from. Empathetic. You want me to feel bad for a guy who got off on shooting another person? At another person in a gas station just a couple of years back. You want me to feel bad for him because he couldn't afford the $150 a month for his mental health treatment? I'm sure there's a service that would have helped him out. But then again, why are they out in the streets? Again, jury was the one who did this, by the way. People want you to be empathetic towards the suspects. F the suspects. People like that who commit heinous crimes, allegedly. I'm just so done with it. This case needs to be a death penalty case, but I know what they're going to do. The defense attorneys, even if you do make it a death penalty case, they will say, oh, he's not mentally well. You can't do that. Because again, we as a country have more empathy for the suspects than the actual victims of crime. And this is just more proof of just that. Speaking of Texas too, well, I'll get to this in a second, actually. Let's go to this one first. Clip 9, Jasmine Crockett. As many of you guys know, she is she's one of the lovely gifts of low voter turnout that Texas has given this country. And, she's in Congress, obviously, but, you know, we tried fixing this issue by just nuking her seat. That didn't really work because she's trying to run for Senate. And I don't think she's going to win, but she's trying her best. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Jasmine Crockett is doing her very best to, call people criminals. And she did this, or this is actually a slip of her tongue. She tried referring to Jack Smith, and she caught herself as a career criminal, but she was actually referring to something else, and it slipped. Take a listen to clip 9.
No cameras, because I was there. They didn't really want you out public because they were afraid of what you would say, which is that you could have proven your case because you are a career prosecutor who knows how to prosecute criminals.
Ah, almost did it. He almost said the truth. Could have slipped through those lips. Good thing she caught herself, though, because that would have been a bad clip for Jack Smith. Jack Smith obviously didn't have a very good day yesterday, although it wasn't really a bombshell day. I won't oversell you on it, but he did testify yesterday in front of the Judiciary Committee. We're jumping in and out of it. Nothing bombshell. The deposition was more interesting than the actual testimony was. But I guess you could say there was a little interesting moment that took place. Congressman Troy Nels, who has obviously been a fighter for J6ers in regards to the treatments in jails and trying to get to the truth, and he really isn't even partisan on the issue. He was strongly about prosecuting those that committed acts of violence against law enforcement that day, but he also wanted to make sure that people weren't being abused, and that was obviously going on. So Congressman Troy Nels has been, I would say, fair on the issue itself. But in clip 10, while he's trying to explain the multiple failures that took place on January 6th, you'll notice that there is a troll that's sitting behind the witness, and that being Jack Smith. And he seems to be making some, you know, gestures. And he also he has a cough that he can't seem to get rid of, where he just happens to drop a curse word. Take a listen.
And lastly, I would like to quickly address the police officers of January 6th. Mr. Don, Mr. Fanone, Mr. Gonell, Mr. Hodges, I'm a member of the new select committee to actually examine what happened that day. And I can tell you, gentlemen, that the fault does not lie with Donald Trump. It lies with Yogananda Pittman and the U.S. Capitol leadership team. We know they had the intelligence and there was going to be a high propensity for violence that day. Claim my time, yeah.
You will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas. We've had some disruptions already. We don't need that. Let the gentleman may continue.
We know the Capitol leadership team, specifically Yogananda Pittman, had the intelligence, and there was going to be a high propensity for violence that day. And the Capitol itself was the target. We knew the extremist groups were going to be there. And why do I say that? It was your own report from your intelligence section, the IICD, which was run by Pittman, in the January 3rd special events section. It was in it. And Mr. Dunn, I believe that you thought that day would be like just any other. In your testimony to the January 6th committee, you said you found out how Dougie was going to get on a cell phone. Somebody sent you some information on social media. The point is, you were all unprepared to deal with that day. And that's because your leadership failed to share the intelligence with you.
Yeah. Well, they don't like you calling them out for their nonsense. And by the way, this is a fake tough guy, very fake tough guy. We're going to get you this clip of Kara Castronova grilling him, and it's quite the laughable moment. But the two officers that were there at the hearing, let's just be very clear. These two officers are accused of perjury. These two officers, we could just focus on Harry Dunn for half a second here. Harry Dunn, the guy who looks like Shrek, who's just moping around, that guy is a liar. A liar. It is in my personal belief that he sat there and he knowingly lied during the criminal trials of the Oath Keepers. We know this because Steve Baker's uncovered the footage that shows that his testimony was completely false in regards to the fact that he said the Oath Keepers were also the agitators that day. How do we know this? Well, Harry Dunn did fill out a document. That document was suppressed from ever getting into the courtroom. That document actually said that the Oath Keepers were helpful to him that day. Somebody likely got in his ear and told him, can't have that in here. Let's revise this. So Harry Dunn has been for the last few years now going around and touting lies and spewing lies about people. Didn't even care that his lie landed a couple of guys in prison for over a decade. So he has the guts, the cojones to go out there, as you could see, and show his face. By the way, he was a coward on January 6th. Was very nervous, was pointing his gun everywhere because obviously he is not a member of law enforcement. Mentally, he's probably a mall cop at best. And then the other officer who was screaming curse words at Congressman Troy Nehls. Oh, tough guy. Bunch of tattoos. No testosterone, though. Everyone hold me back. Hold me back. No one's holding it back. If you want to throw a punch, throw a punch. But you can't do that. Why? Well, I can't say that word on air. But Kara Castronova, you can't land a punch on Kara Castronova because that girl, not only is she a professional fighter, but she's also a fighter for real causes like J6ers. And she had quite the very laughable moment when she decided to confront this coward. Take a listen.
Officer Fanone, how are you today?
I'm great.
What happened in there?
What are you talking about?
That confrontation.
Jack Smith testified about how he had proof beyond reasonable doubt that Donald Trump incited, orchestrated, and funded the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6, 2021.
It seemed like there was a fight in there?
No, there was no fight.
Is it true, Officer Fanone, that you turned off your own body camera on January 6th?
No.
I saw your body cam. You turned it off yourself. You were playing dead. I saw your body cam footage.
You're a...
What am I?
Right-wing conspiracy theorist.
I saw you turn off your body cam footage, sir, but thank you for disrespecting me. Psychopath.
He's a coward. He's a coward. He turned off his body cam footage because he's probably just in the corner crying his eyes out. One could assume at this point he's a coward. A coward. You're a tough guy. Do something. Do something. Harry Dunn's going to hold you back. The guy could barely walk. He's overweight. He's out of shape. He could barely walk. You want to do something, do something. Otherwise, shut up and sit down. Shut up and sit down. I'm just so over these fake tough guys. Oh, I'm going to get my moment. I'm going to look real tough. Do something. Do something. Otherwise, shut up and get out of the room. And I bet you he would never act as bold as he did to Troy Nehls if Troy Nehls wasn't sitting up on that platform. If Troy Nehls was face-to-face with him, he wouldn't have the guts to do what he did there. He's a coward. I'm so tired. So tired of seeing these cowards. But if the DOJ really wanted to do something, they would actually go after those two guys. Because those two guys have been spewing nothing but lies. By the way, Harry Dunn, the big goofus, the one who looks like a Shrek, that guy, by the way, he ran for Congress and Nancy Pelosi endorsed him. If you're wondering why, well, obviously... he helped spew the narrative. He helped spew the lies. So in my opinion, it was probably something that was like, hey, listen, if you do this for us, we'll do something for you. We'll get you into Congress. We could use more morons in Congress. He ran, lost, thankfully, but he did run. Oh, poor Harry Dunn. These guys are cowards, cowards, glorified mall cops. They're not even intelligent enough to be a member of law enforcement. This is what happens when the bar is so low, so low. Garbage like this guy come in. And that's exactly what they are. They're garbage. They're garbage human beings. And I'm holding back still. Don't want to tell you how I really feel about these two. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. You know, I guess we could listen to this one. In clip six, J.D. Vance is schooling journalists, and he's doing a good job. He's very respectful when he takes his tone with them. But I want you to listen clearly to the question and then J.D.'s response. Take a listen.
Earlier this week, local law enforcement accused federal agents of racial profiling. Why are there so many U.S. citizens being caught up in this operation?
Well, I think your question assumes something that's not necessarily in evidence, which is that when there are American citizens who have been caught up in some of these enforcement operations, very often it is people who have assaulted a law enforcement officer. They're not being arrested because they violated the immigration laws. They're being arrested because they punched a federal law enforcement officer. That is a totally reasonable thing.
Oh, the facts. The facts are always so inconvenient. See, this is the problem with these so-called journalists. They pretend to be journalists. And by the way, they would deem the rest of us who actually uncover things not as, they wouldn't call us journalists. And the reality of it is they are all left-leaning mouthpieces. They all go to these crazy colleges, cook up these expensive bills, and they're being taught to be propagandists. So they might not even knowingly be doing all of this. This, in fact, might be their mistake. We could be nice and say that it's their mistake. But folks, it's great to hear J.D. Vance shut them down. I think he does it with class, and I think that's what's missing all the time. I myself am a little classless, so I wouldn't respond that graceful. It'd be like a, what are you, an idiot? That's why I like hearing J.D. Vance shut down people. Speaking of shutting down people, if you want a really good laugh, Jasmine Crockett's trying to reinvent her image. This girl who went to private school, who's actually not even from Texas, by the way, she wants to make Texans feel like she's Texan. She's a gun-touting Texan. In clip 11, take a listen.
Listen, I'm a gun-toting Texan, right? So I own firearms, I'm licensed to carry, and I also care about agriculture. Way before I was running for the United States Senate, you know, I served on the Ag Committee. I'm the girl who's actually lived in rural Texas. I'm the girl that has actually driven farm equipment.
Ah, you've driven farm equipment. I'd love to see a video of that. Love to see a video of that. You and I both know she's lying. She's lying. She's never driven farm equipment. She has no idea what farming even is. And she's a gun-touting Texan. You'd probably see videos and pictures of her because she never lets a moment go to waste. She was actually doing all of those things. She has to pretend like she's one of the Texans now that she's running for U.S. Senate. No one believes anything that Jasmine Crockett's saying. She is full of it. She is a liar. She is just hoping your IQ is as low as hers. Maybe then you'd believe her. But Jasmine Crockett giving us a good laugh by trying to lie to the American people and say that she, in fact, is a gun-touting Texan. Oh, what a good laugh. All right, I want to go to this next clip, clip 12. Tucker Carlson has been speaking about Dan Bongino, and it's been quite interesting. Take a listen.
Resign. If Pam Bondi does not resign as AG, what does that tell us, in your opinion?
Well, it tells us that Dan Bongino got shafted, completely shafted. And I'm saying this as a friend of his and someone who respects and likes him, but also just as an observer, an informed observer of it. So Pam Bondi, who's, by the way, I don't hate Pam Bondi. She's a totally nice person. If she was here, you would enjoy, if I don't know if you know her, but she's a very nice person. Not against Pam Bondi in the slightest. But the fact is she got on television on Fox News and started saying stuff like, I've got the client list on my desk. And actually, no, you don't. And I've got thousands of videos of Epstein having sex with kids. Well, actually, no, you don't. Most of the material was commercial porn taken off his computer. Like, that's just not true. Why did she say that? Probably because she's insecure and she's trying to please the audience, I would expect.
Do you think Dan is upset because his integrity is being questioned now over her mistakes?
Oh, my gosh. So you're Dan and you're a media figure and you've got one of the biggest podcasts in the country and you're making tons of money and you're having a great time, which he was. You just built this brand new studio in Florida. You work with your wife, who you really like, which she does. And you get the call saying you'd be deputy FBI director. And you're like, I love Donald Trump. I love this country. I will, you know, cut my pay by, you know, into a tenth of what it was. And I will leave my house and move to D.C., which is a kind of prison sentence itself. And I will do this because I love the president. I love the country. And you're there a few months. And all of a sudden, everybody thinks you're covering up Epstein's crimes. And it kind of wrecks Dan's career. Like, he can't go back. It's going to be very hard at this point. I mean, things may change, but as of today, pretty hard for Dan to go back to his podcast audience and be like, I'm telling you the truth, when they all think he's covering up for Epstein. Who did that? Pam Bondi did that. And I don't know that she did it on purpose. I'm assuming not. I don't think she's a mean person. I've never gotten that sense. But for whatever reason, she went out there and said things that were not true, that she could not back up. And then they issued this memo thinking that it would clear everything up.
That was embarrassing.
And I guess they're just so dumb, they didn't realize that if you tell everybody you have the tapes of these crimes and then you issue a memo saying you're not going to prosecute anybody for the crimes, what are you saying? I'm covering up for the perpetrators of these crimes. Duh. They have no one with an IQ over 80 over there to read the memos? Are you kidding? You know, I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but I do know that it leaves a guy like Dan in a horrible position.
Yeah.
And he loves Trump. And I don't think Trump had any knowledge of any of this at the detail level. And so he doesn't, I mean, what do you do if you're Dan Bongino? I just really, I feel for him.
Yeah, I mean, folks, he obviously is going to have a rough road ahead. His podcast is expected to begin next month. And, you know, the best way to handle this, just from a PR perspective, because I've done crisis management in my lifetime, that's one of the many hats I wear, would be just to come forward and just speak the truth. Now, obviously, can't tell you everything. There's ongoing investigations, and that I understand. But the Epstein saga needs to be detailed. You can't get past that. You can't get past that. Rather than going out there and attacking individuals, which I don't think is the right way to go about it. Yeah, okay, if a journalist is actually throwing punches at you, then definitely fight back. But just to sit here and say that if you disagree with the report, you're a black pillar, if you disagree with criticism, you're a black pillar. These labels don't work. We've seen it during the pandemic when they tried labeling us as conspiracy theorists based on our own beliefs that the vaccines weren't actually vaccines. They tried their very best to do that, and it didn't work. Trying to throw names on people doesn't work. My advice for this entire situation for Dan Bongino would just be simply come forward and tell the truth. And I've said it before like 1,000 times. I don't think Dan Bongino is a bad person. I knew him before he went in. That's why I endorsed him. I thought he was going to be great at this. But the Epstein files clearly was a DOJ issue, not FBI related. I know this because I've been speaking to people across the agencies, and it's always been the focus that the FBI was trying to push this forward, but it all fell at the DOJ. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. We're going to be taking your calls in the next hour, 877-789-2539. It's the number to call, 877-789-2539. And again, we got a great sale going on right now over the alexjonesstore.com. 25% off hoodies, t-shirts. Hats are 20% off. There's also incredible discounts across the line when it comes to supplements. So you got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis. crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back. The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We'll be taking calls in this hour. First, we'll be welcoming an attorney in just a little bit, and then after that, we'll take your calls. But you know what? I see that Jim in Montana wants to talk about an exclusive story we broke to you guys here during the week in regards to a possible either theft of a bioagent or a leak of a bioagent that came from a Montana lab. It's a Fauci bio lab. So, Jim, I see that you're from Montana, and you had something you wanted to talk about in regards to that story. So what's on your mind?
Brianna, all I can do is thank you. I've been trying for years to get FOIA requests from them, and I've received nothing. Mm. But I was able to get some traction with that report to my state rep, and she was totally appalled that, one, she wasn't notified. Nobody was notified about that. I can also tell you that if you think that it's just Americans working at this lab, I know for a fact that there's nations that of questionable whatever come here and do testing at that lab. Yeah. I can also tell you that they did an upgrade, and I was talking with one of the contractors there, and he said they were installing cages with a labeling on them, human primate. Mm. So I've called my state rep. She's on it. She's appalled. I called Baines, Senator Baines, and Senator Sheehy. Haven't been able to get in touch with our local congressman, but all I can say is if people of the United States don't understand how important InfoWars is, there are hundreds of bio-level 3 and 4 labs. Well, there's 13 bio-level 4 labs across the nation. Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana. I could go on, but I can't remember them. But California, 30. DSL-3 lab. Washington State has multiple DSL-3 labs. It's unbelievable. Texas, it's unbelievable. So if you think it's isolated to Montana, it isn't. It's nationwide, and they're still doing this crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jim, first off, I want you to email me so we could talk about this off cam, because I want to figure out who that state, if you want to disclose the name of the state rep who's helping you, or you could just email it to me, whatever is your preference. But, you know, I just texted Justin Goodman because he was the one who was able to obtain these records. And so Goodman's all over this. This story's blown up since we've covered it here on this show. He's the one who runs the White Coat Waste Project. This is on his radar. So, Jim, I want you to actually email me. And if you're comfortable giving us any information about the state rep and what she might be doing, we'd love to hear that as well. We've got about 30 seconds.
Sure. I don't know. She's going to – I talked to her yesterday, mm-hmm. and she's going to do everything in her power to try and get any other information. Mm-hmm. But she's pretty sure that not only was she not contacted, our county seat wasn't contacted, our emergency services wasn't contacted, and our sheriff wasn't contacted. Mm. She can pretty much say 100% that that is true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Jim, we're going to be on this, and I want you to email me. We'll give you it's just BriannaMorella@protonmail.com. That's where the tips come in from. That's where my team helps go through it. So, Jim, I do want you to email me, though. I do want you to send me some details. I'm going to connect with Justin on this one, and we'll figure out what's going on there in Montana together, because this is a big one that we need to keep talking about, and we can't let up on this one. Jim, thank you for calling the show on that. That was a story that we were very honored to kind of unleash on this show on InfoWars. Obviously, this is the platform where we aren't afraid to talk about these things. And we'll keep talking about it. We'll keep talking about it. Jim, thank you for your coverage as well and looking into this issue. We greatly appreciate it. All right, guys, buckle up. Robert Gouveia is going to be joining us next. He's a criminal defense attorney. We've got so much to catch up with him on, so don't go anywhere.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. I'm going to give you an update about that Montana story in just a little bit, that lab leak. We're learning more about specifically what actually was leaked in that lab. And guys, it's very, very concerning. But I don't want to hold up our next guest because he has done an incredible job at working with our tough schedule over here. I want to talk a little bit about the arrests. As many of you guys know, we opened with the show about those three individuals who went inside of a church in Minnesota and decided to unleash what they call a protest. It obviously isn't a protest, and it obviously is something that the FACE Act was pretty much drafted up for people like this. You know, they were told to leave. They decided not to. And the pastor did repeatedly want to carry on with service, but apparently it looks like he was not able to do just that. One of those individuals who has since been arrested is William Kelly. Now, this individual, I've seen a lot of videos about him online, doesn't seem to be in a great state of mind. But I want you to listen specifically to what he says here in clip 13.
All the people in this church, they're living real comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps. So if we disturb their Sunday, oh no, nobody should have comfort right now while our immigrant communities are afraid to leave their houses.
Yeah, did you hear that? No one gets to live in comfort right now. That is according to Kelly. Joining me to discuss is Robert Gouveia. He's a criminal defense attorney and he also streams the show Spotlight of Justice. Catch him on X as well. Make sure you give him a follow. Robert, it's an honor to have you on the show today. You know, we want to talk a little bit about the FACE Act because I know that this is something that a lot of Americans were pushing for after what they saw unravel in Minnesota on Sunday. You know, so many people were there to worship and they weren't able to finish service because of these so-called protesters. What do you make of Kelly's claims there where he specifically is saying, I mean, it sounds like he's pretty much, if you just take that clip, you play it in front of a jury, it sounds exactly what the FACE Act was created to prevent from happening. What do you make of it?
Yeah, exactly. First of all, thanks, Brianna, for having us here. It was very disturbing what we saw there, and I think the three arrests are a good start.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just William Kelly. It was also the rest of them. I mean, we even saw Don Lemon outside before they went inside the church, all kind of talking about their intention to disrupt the delivery of services, which was exactly what the FACE Act was set up for. And we went back and looked through a bunch of the other Biden prosecutions for FACE Act crimes, and they went wild. I mean, they were throwing people in prison for years, like 57 months, I think, was the max. And what they were saying is that these people who they prosecuted and arrested were preventing the delivery of abortion services. Many people just kind of hanging outside abortion clinics, praying, you know, kind of doing a civil protest outside abortion clinics. They went to prison for years. And when they were creating their cases and doing their investigations, they looked at their live streams. They looked at their comments. They looked at the things that they said after the fact, just like this guy, just like William Kelly. And Chantel, the other woman, you had her picture on the screen, mm-hmm. and Neki Malibi, they've been doing the same thing. They've been going around after the fact talking about, yeah, they wanted to, you know, essentially get in people's faces and make them uncomfortable. And the FACE Act, if the Biden administration can use it to prevent or to prosecute people who are preventing the delivery of abortion services, it also covers religious practice and religious worship. And so in this case, we saw not only these three people, a bunch of others, I think, that hopefully are under, you know, the scope of this investigation, who are also preventing the delivery of Christian services. And so I think that what we saw was actually very, very nice developments from the DOJ, because they moved relatively quickly on this. For the prior FACE Act prosecutions, the Biden people, it took them years actually to decide to bring these cases. There's a little bit, you know, more complex history there, because they were actually prosecuting FACE Act violations from the Trump administration. And then once the Dobbs decision came down, the abortion decision, they really ratcheted up that whole, you know, line of attack. So it took them years, though. But here, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Kristi Noem, right, they got this thing done in a week. And I think that there's going to be a lot more to come, hopefully.
Yeah, well, hopefully. And I want to ask you about the magistrate judge who's being called into question here, because there are reports, and I don't think the DOJ has even confirmed any of this publicly, but there are reports that there was a certain magistrate judge in Minnesota who refused to sign off on the arrest warrant of Don Lemon. They're saying that his name is Douglas Miko. Apparently his wife also works at the, well, separately, but also works for the assistant attorney general in Minnesota, which is obviously AG Keith Ellison. There's obviously a conflict of interest here. Number one, being that we now hear that this magistrate judge is refusing to sign off on the arrest warrant, can you just take it to another magistrate judge? And number two, shouldn't a judge just say, okay, there's a conflict of interest here and possibly bow out of being involved in any of this? Would that normally be the protocol?
Yeah, you would imagine a judge like this would recuse himself. Of course, we're discovering this right now, so we're still waiting for the charging documents to all get dropped. They just got arrested yesterday, so presumably we'll get to see a little bit of a paper trail on this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. I think this judge should have recused himself. And it's even worse than the fact that just, you know, his wife happens to work for Keith Ellison, who is the attorney general there in Minnesota, the chief law enforcement officer. And this is a magistrate judge, so it's not an actual U.S. appointed judge, like a, you know, officially appointed judge. He's almost like a judicial aide in a way. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have the same authority as a regular duly appointed U.S. federal judge. And so I think that there will be other avenues of attack that they can use to go to a grand jury, to try to basically get this judge recused off of any of their cases that handle, you know, Don Lemon, for example, and try to find a different judge, a different set of charges. They could even go through a grand jury proceeding and bring a case that way if they think a grand jury would indict Don. But the bigger issue, I think, with this judge is certainly his wife, yes, works for Keith Ellison, the AG, but Keith Ellison, the AG, jumped on a podcast with Don Lemon and was actually kind of playing patty cake with him after the fact, after this whole thing occurred. So in other words, if the judge would have allowed Don Lemon to be indicted by the DOJ, and I think that there's plenty of cause there for that. Don says he was just a journalist. He was there before, during, and after, even after he was asked to leave. He was continuing to harass the parishioners, people who were there just to pray and kind of having conversations with them, getting in their faces. And this judge, if he were to have, you know, basically no charge Don Lemon, I'm sorry, if he would have charged Don Lemon, he ultimately did a no charge. It would have been in direct opposition to his wife's boss, who said on the podcast with him that he was protected by the First Amendment, which is completely erroneous. I think he forgot the entire analysis about the FACE Act. But if the chief attorney general, if the chief law enforcement officer is telling Don he's innocent, and then another federal judge comes in and allows him to be criminally charged, I think that that's not going to bode well for the, you know, the wife. And this judge shouldn't have even made that decision, knowing that there was this close proximity with his wife on Ellison's staff, essentially. And then Ellison defending Don Lemon at every turn, hopping on podcasts with him, basically trying to set the tone and create a narrative that you can't charge Don. And maybe that was persuasive on this judge. So hopefully the DOJ is, you know, doubling down on this and demanding that that judge doesn't make decisions on mission critical issues when he's married to somebody who works for Keith Ellison.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, too, about this, because I think it's really interesting. When I'm watching Don Lemon prior to going inside of that church, he's not referring to it as a protest. In fact, he keeps repeatedly saying the word, this is an operation. And he's on the sidelines telling what the operation is going to be. And he's trying to be really sneaky about it. But do you think any of that's going to play into court? Because the reality of it is he's not saying protest. He keeps saying operation. And that's a very key word, I think.
Yeah, I think Don was completely a part of this whole scam. I mean, they were there before. He was recording video saying, hey, these people are here. He was even kind of making fun of them. He thought that they were like MAGA protesters, he said. And then he said, oh, they're very diverse. And then he realized who they were. And then he says, this is why we're here. This is all part of the intention. And I think a strong defense would be that he was an independent journalist who just kind of came upon the scene and just kind of arrived there. What's going on? And then decided to report on it. But you can't instigate the crime and then report on the crime. And these two were colluding together. I think they were co-conspirators because she didn't have the microphone, the megaphone. She didn't have the big audience, and he didn't have the foot soldiers to go in there and interrupt this church. So they worked together. She was performing for him, and he was covering her performance. And so together, I think that they were part of this operation. And for Don then to turn around and say, no, I'm just an innocent journo, that didn't apply to other journos on, for example, J6, who all got arrested and served prison time. They didn't say, we're just reporting on things. You can't arrest us. They rounded them up and put them in jail. So Don, trying to use this journalist force field, I think, you know, might stall this out a little bit, but ultimately, based on the things that he did, right, there's indicia that he had intent, that he was there to obstruct, that he wasn't just there reporting as an independent journalist, that he was part of this operation. And so hopefully the DOJ keeps the pressure on him and we get a non-biased judge who can look at this case fairly and apply the same standard that they would have applied to pro-lifers who were praying outside facilities.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they can. I mean, Bev Williams is someone who I sat down with and spoke with her after she was released from prison. And she was someone who they said that she committed violence, but it wasn't that. She was just trying to sit down and do a sit-in protest outside of an abortion clinic. And then one of the employees jammed their hand by opening up the door where Bev was sitting. And that's how the injury was created. But she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And this was a young mother who they were trying to take away from her kids. And so if we're all playing by the same set of standards, yeah, that should happen. And, you know, they give them the James O'Keefe treatment, you know, raid their homes. And then when you ask for an explanation as to why the raid happened, give them a heavily redacted document as a justification and tell them good luck with that. You know, I was there when Steve Baker, as you were just alluding to there, Steve Baker, J6 reporter, was inside the Capitol when everything was going down. And because they believe that Steve had some conservative beliefs, they deemed him not as a journalist. And so he was facing prison time. I mean, they shackled him and dragged him off. So if we're all playing by the same set of rules, then Don Lemon needs a mugshot. And I can't wait for it. I've already got the merch ready to go once we get that up and running. So I'll, fingers crossed here. But I also want to
pick them up. That sounds great.
I want to switch up gears a little bit because, you know, a lot of us have been waiting to hear from Jack Smith. And yesterday, it wasn't so groundbreaking, the testimony. I enjoyed his deposition more than the public testimony that we heard yesterday. But there was an interesting moment where Jack Smith was asked about the confidential sources that were paid thousands of our dollars to during his investigation in clip 14. Take a listen.
We've gathered in $35 million. And what I want to know is how much of that $35 million of taxpayer money did you give to confidential human sources? We know you gave $20,000 to someone. It just got reported last week. How much more money did you pay confidential people, people we don't know about, with American tax money going after the guy we elected president?
My recollection regards the $20,000, which was not a payment from me. It was me approving a payment by the FBI to a confidential human source who was reviewing video and photographic.
Who's the source?
I do not know the identity of the source.
How many other payments went to this source or other sources?
As I sit here, I do not know the answer to that question. My role as special counsel,
$35 million, and you're giving money to people the country doesn't know who they are, and you're giving their hard-earned money to these folks? The main question I have, too, with this is, why'd you have to do it? You subpoenaed bank records from the RNC, phone records from members of Congress. You got subpoenas for bank records for people sitting right down the front row. Why did you have to pay people for information
time,
when you could
Mr.
subpoena
Chairman,
them and get it?
Time has expired.
Time has expired. You can answer the question now. Country'd like to know why you had to do it.
My recollection and understanding is the payment, the $20,000 that I approved, was for a confidential human source to assist in the review of video and photographic evidence showing people who were attacking the Capitol, attacking police officers, obstructing the proceeding, and seeing if we could prove that some of those people had come directly.
That wasn't my question, but my time has expired. The gentleman.
So what do you make of all of this? Because, again, coughing up thousands of dollars, well, there's no real need for that unless you're really trying to pay people off.
Yeah, it's grotesque, and they are not beyond manufacturing evidence. We've seen them do this for a long time. They created evidence of, you know, bad phone call with Trump and Raffensperger in Georgia. They said Trump was trying to insurrect the Capitol building when he said go peacefully and patriotically protest, right? They have been perverting evidence consistently. They tried to throw him off the ballot so we couldn't even vote for him just by virtue of the fact of, you know, judges were upset with J6. So $20,000 for a confidential human source that he doesn't even know who that person is. It's like, that's a lot of money for somebody to just kind of throw away on an unnamed person for some reason. So I think that they were probably manufacturing evidence and trying to identify areas that they could use that were useful because they didn't have anything else. And I think about the opportunity cost too. The $35 million is probably a low estimate, but Trump had to come out of pocket to defend that, right? So at least $35 million that we paid for, by the way, and then he has to come back and maybe double or triple that. All of that is money that could have been used for the campaign. Instead, he had to fight back against a political attack by illegitimate Jack Smith, by the way, who another, I think, bombshell of the whole hearing was that his oath was very problematic when he was originally appointed. And we saw that the Mar-a-Lago, the classified documents case, got dismissed on the basis that Jack Smith is illegitimate because of the statutes that they used to create the special counsel, which were fake. You know, they were not even really legitimate is what Cannon found out. But yesterday we also heard that his oath that he was supposed to take with a witness and a signature was also invalid. And we went back and we looked at the timeline on this. And I think this is extremely scandalous because remember Trump got appointed or actually reannounced that he was going to run for president November 15, 2022. So November 15, 2022 has not been indicted yet by Jack Smith. Jack gets appointed November 18th. So about 3 days later, Jack comes in, takes the first oath. There's a huge problem with the first oath because it's missing a witness, essentially. So he signed it illegally. So then Jack, right after that, he's got an illegal oath. He indicts Trump twice, June 8th, 23, August 1st, 23. Trump gets indicted twice. Then the DOJ, Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, and the rest of them, they came back in October. So the second indictment is August 23. Jack takes a second oath, October 23. And that's essentially to ratify the prior bad oath. And so we have seen recently the judges just tripping all over themselves to throw out Trump prosecutor cases. For example, Lindsey Halligan, mm-hmm. Alina Abba, these two U.S. attorneys bringing cases. Judges on their own, sua sponte, just say, oh, you're illegal. In fact, one of them was screaming at Halligan saying, you have to get off your cases or I'm going to refer you to the bar. I'm going to refer you for ethics complaints because the judges are kind of vetting and validating Trump U.S. attorneys. But Jack Smith never had that same problem. And the judges, Judge Chutkan, was going to allow him to run a trial in like 9 months. Bruce Reinhart was, you know, signing off search warrants for the case that Jack Smith ultimately inherited. And nobody questioned any of it at all. But we learned, even Jack, he's like, I don't remember. Just like you in that clip you played. I don't remember who gave me the oath. I don't remember the second oath. I don't remember the reason for the second oath. We all know what the reason is. It's because the first oath was invalid. And if you have an illegally appointed U.S. attorney, those indictments should have never come down the line either. And nobody caught that throughout the entire process. In fact, Trump had to fight for it in Mar-a-Lago to get Judge Cannon to dismiss his case. It was like a never-ending battle. And so the ramifications of that, what are the consequences of that? Did Merrick Garland, did Lisa Monaco, did Jack Smith know that all of this was illegal and then they just basically covered it up and tried to ratify it after the fact? It's scandalous. The whole thing was illegitimate from its inception, and we're starting to learn more about it. The question, of course, is what will the consequences be? Will Congress make a criminal referral over to Pam Bondi, or will Pam Bondi pick this up and run with it? But we're still learning more about the Jack Smith case, and it's still kind of open because there's volume 2 of Jack Smith's report that we're battling about in Florida. In fact, Trump just submitted an oppositional brief to prevent Judge Cannon from releasing that because volume 1 was already released. That was the J6 case, and it's a fake report created by a fake illegitimate prosecutor. So now we're trying to battle to keep the second volume from coming out, but that's taking place in Cannon's courtroom right now in Florida. So the Jack Smith saga continues.
Yeah, and Cannon, I have to say, is by far the fairest judge that we've seen thus far. So we'll see how that pans out, but she's been pretty solid on all of this. I wanted to get your take on this. This was a big story earlier this week, and I just want to kind of hear what the next phase of all of this is, because obviously Bill and Hillary Clinton think that they are above the law, and that they don't have to actually show up when they're subpoenaed to do so in front of a congressional committee. And because of all of that, shockingly, 9 Democrats on the House Oversight Committee voted to actually hold Bill in contempt, while I believe it was 3 sided with Republicans for the separate vote on Hillary Clinton. So obviously they're fired up on this issue, and it's something that both sides agree on, probably because they both signed off on the subpoena in the first place. But what do you make of this, and what's the next step moving forward? Does this go straight to the DOJ and we wait for Pam Bondi to do something, hopefully?
This should go to the full House floor. So I think there'll be a full vote in February. So I think they're on out of session, and they come back. It should require a full House vote, is my understanding. And then from there, it will go over to Pam Bondi as a legitimate criminal referral. If I remember correctly, that's how it happened with Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon and the others who got held in contempt of Congress. So it should be happening pretty soon. And I, like you, was very surprised by this. I thought, wow, this is interesting that Democrats, some of them, not all of them, are sticking to their guns, essentially, right? They voted to issue the subpoenas for Bill and Hillary. Then they threw a big fit when they didn't show up for the depot. And we had James Comer and others come out in the halls of Congress and say, where are they? Where are they? You know, why aren't they here? And at that moment, a bunch of Democrats kind of reversed and like, well, we don't need them. You know, you didn't bring in these other people who you sent subpoenas to. And Bill Clinton is a former president, so we should, you know, be nice to him. And that was, I think, an indicator that they were not going to vote ultimately to take this out of committee and bring it to the full floor for a contempt vote. But a couple of them did, to their credit. And I think it's because they're pretty much anchored in on this. I don't think that they realized that when they were going to send the subpoena out, that James Comer had evidence that Bill Clinton, he gave us these numbers, 17 times, apparently, Epstein went to the White House while Bill Clinton was president, which is just wild to me. And that has not been, I think, a big headline that we've been seeing spread around from the media. It's quite the opposite. And then 27 times on the airplane. So this criminal referral, and the Clintons are saying it's illegitimate, the subpoenas are illegitimate, there's no legitimate legislative purpose and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's even maybe more legitimate than any of the J6 subpoenas, because this is actually a bipartisan consensus in Congress. We actually have Democrats on this committee who voted for it, whereas the J6 Select Committee was illegally constituted under the rules. They just threw on, you know, 2 token Republicans. So I think these actually carry more force and weight under the law. And if Bill Clinton is going to say something like he's got presidential immunity for having Jeffrey Epstein over to his house, over to the White House, then, you know, he can make that argument in criminal court. But I would imagine, and this happened very rapidly under the last administration, when Liz Cheney sent the criminal contempt referrals over to the Merrick Garland, they had Bannon and Navarro arrested quickly. So I don't know exactly what the arrest procedure will look like for a former president. I mean, they were gearing that up for Trump, but the Clintons, I expect to be referred over. And I think that even some Democrats, as long as the Republicans stay unified in their votes, I think that they may even get some Democrats to flip this over, and the Clintons may really be facing contempt.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that, and we're hopeful. We're hopeful that's where we go with all of this. Robert Gouveia, thank you so much for joining us. You always do an incredible job on X, as well as your show, which I highly recommend our audience. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, Spotlight of Justice. You do an incredible job at breaking down these complex legal issues, and we're very grateful for that. So thank you for joining us, as always.
Thanks, Brianna. Always great to be here.
Always great to be with you. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. Plus, I've just gotten a story confirmed over by the FBI. It's in regards to possible firings. It's an incredible story that you're not going to want to miss. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call, of course. That's how you join the show. And I see we have people on hold right now. We're getting to you in just a few moments. Thanks for bearing with us. But folks, again, give us a call, 877-789-2539. And in the meantime, bet you didn't know I could talk that fast. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have incredible sales going on right now. The discount varies across the website. That's why you got to check it out for yourself over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus a free t-shirt, no minimum required. That sale's going to end soon, though. We got a bunch of great savings so far. 25% off the t-shirts and hoodies, 20% off hats. Then you also have up to 45% off on some of your favorite supplements. Go check it out for yourself, thealexjonesstore.com.
An RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria. Clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it. I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We're going to take some calls in this portion of the hour. We'll take some calls in the third hour of the show as well. So if you want to join the program, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. Number you want to call into. I just wanted to give you an update. I actually just confirmed this with an FBI source. Over at the FBI, they've just made another round of firings. They've conducted this another round, and it includes a lot of people who were involved in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Kash Patel, the FBI director, has apparently ousted the field office heads as well as additional senior agents tied to two of the criminal probes involving President Trump. That's according to someone I've just actually spoken to. The special agent in charge in that Atlanta field office has been dismissed, along with an acting assistant director overseeing the New York field office. Now, again, folks, this is obviously something we've been calling on for a long time, so this is all very important. There's also apparently a former special agent in charge in New Orleans who has since been transitioned to a new role but was also removed. So that person's gone now, and that's kind of like the phase of the firings there that they do there. And then and Miami, I should also add, up to six agents were let go due to their roles in those searches, specifically, though, the Mar-a-Lago raid. So we are learning just that. This has been confirmed that the director of the FBI has since made some new firings, which give us, you know, some hope. Let's take some calls, though, right now. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, thanks for waiting on hold. What's on your mind?
And good morning, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for holding. What's going on?
There's so many things in the news happening, and I kind of wanted to stray off path while I was waiting on hold. If you'll allow me an extra minute.
Yeah, let's hear.
We recently had, the five-year anniversary of the January 6th stuff, and we talked about the Capitol officer turning off his body cam or whatever. What always gets me is within a day of Brian Sicknick's death, a U.S. Capitol Police officer, hey, man, the U.S. Capitol Police and the U.S. Justice Department both announced that his death was due to injuries from the attack. And so they performed an autopsy, and then they cremated him. But just like within a few days, they took his ash to the rotunda, the Capitol Dome. I mean, it took 11 years to build the Capitol Dome. It's 160 years old this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been 43 people ever that have laid in state. And this is because he got clobbered in the head with a fire extinguisher, and it turns out he wasn't. And then they said, well, it was a reaction to bear spray. But then, the autopsy says that's not what it was. So I'm so sorry for that guy. He didn't deserve to get drug into this quagmire. But I'm just saying that to me, that's a stain that politics is so bad that you would put a guy in the same way that we put President Kennedy in there. You're going to put him in there just because you're so quick to blame us that insurrection that happened, where people were killed, so forth. But not a word about, the poor Air Force veteran that got killed. No word about her or the others. Anyways, I got off track. I'm sorry. That's not what I called in about. But
Tim, I'll kind of answer back there. Yeah, no, I think you're 1,000% correct. You can't mess up their political theatrics. If you do that, Tim, then you've ruined the narrative. And so they needed those opportunities. And again, a lot of those, they kept counting the suicides, too, as deaths, saying that all these officers killed themselves afterwards. I mean, it really wasn't that bad on January 6th. So to blame it on J6 is wild. But then also when you hear about all of this, when you hear specifically about the people involved, and you look at the two officers that were there, Dopey and his friend, you kind of go, this is why it happened, because you guys were a bunch of cowards. You were a bunch of cowards. So, yeah, Tim, I agree with you on that front.
And P.S., he also got a full military honor burial at Arlington also. Thought I'd mention that.
Yeah,
anyways, what it called in about is this wild story, because I've been by this hundreds of times. It's right at the end of the Tejon Pass, go over this big hill on Interstate 5 here in Southern California. And it's Interstate big. There's a bunch of them there because it's right before you go down this big, long grade. So it's a good place to take a break. Anyways, the Flying J truck stop. And turns out this man was charged in the largest jewelry heist in U.S. history. We're talking $100 million plus of diamonds and jewelry and this famous watches and stuff. And what it is, they were team driving, and one of the team members went in for like 20-something minutes to get a bite to eat, and the other team driver was sleeping. And that's all it took, man. They got in that trailer and got what they needed and got out of there. But they did catch some of the people. And, some of them got deported to Ecuador and so forth. But the point is that the guy that got caught that we had in custody, ICE was so excited about giving you a choice. Hey, you can either say you're a citizen and hang around, or we can just deport you. And they come to this guy, and I guess they forgot he had stolen $100 million of jewels, because he says, well, I'll just take deportation. And they deported him. He's gone. Now, the only way they'll ever be able to prosecute him now is he has to try to come back into the United States. If he never comes back into the United States, they didn't recover much, if any, of the stuff.
It's so nice.
There you go.
Isn't that nice, though? Quick little vacation to the United States, committed a massive crime, and then walk out with a lot of cash. That's not bad, Tim. Maybe we're all just doing it wrong.
I didn't know we had Brinks big rigs. I just thought we had, like, the Brinks trucks. I didn't know we had Brinks big rigs, but apparently we do.
Yeah. Well, that's something new to me, too. So, yeah, no. I mean, I just learned that as well. Tim, thanks for calling in. As always, we greatly appreciate it. Let's go to Chuck in Ohio. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I just want to thank Infowars and Alex for the battles and the education. But I hate to say this, you guys are winning the battles, but you're going to lose the war. Because America is dying of a million cuts. Basically, the nation is losing its soul collectively, one by one. Kind of like what happened to Germany in the 1930s. It's a slow process. The communist process is a slow process of removing the soul. That's what I think. And I wanted to add to the lab leak. You know that technology was off of Plum Island, and that was from the Nazis, and it was designed to destroy the food supply.
Okay. Well, Chuck, I want to jump in here because I don't want to pivot from your opener when you said that. We're going to lose the war itself. I don't think that's the mentality we have here of our InfoWars. You know, we claim all these victories, and as you're detailing now, the Montana lab story, which we broke on this show, is a massive victory. Yeah, you could say it's a small one in regards to the much larger war, but if we were a bunch of cowards and we had negativity in our hearts and we were just walking around preaching doomsday, guess what? We would have been conquered years ago. So thanks to the great work that's done here on InfoWars, where we have a platform where I could expose stories like the Montana lab leak story, and now it's much bigger. In fact, we're learning that this is actually a virus that was potentially leaked. We are the reasons why there will be changes made. As you heard the caller who called into the show at the top of the hour, he's now saying that there's local lawmakers who, after seeing our report that we broke to you exclusively on InfoWars, that they're going to start circling around, getting answers, demanding answers. And, yeah, we don't agree with the biolab. That's something that we've been strongly against.
Who in the right mind would move bioweapons lab off of Plum Island and into the middle of the breadbasket? Enemies.
Of course. Well, that's what we're fighting. And so we're all fighting this battle here. And the best way to do so is to expose it. And so, Chuck, I tend to be a little bit more optimistic, because if it wasn't for outlets like ours or the brave people who are out there giving these stories to us, like, you know, White Coast Waste was the one who went out there and got the FOIAs, and they're very hard to obtain, as you heard the caller say. But once he got it, he called me, let me know what he found, and we put him on air, and we did the whole story. So evil people exist. They're in our country, and we're going to keep ousting them, and that's the goal here. Chuck, thank you for calling in. We greatly appreciate it. Savage Dog in Georgia, welcome back to the show, my friend. How's life?
No quippy quips this morning to start out, because this is serious. And my topic is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see it was just here and there before, you know, I'd see like shorts of street preachers fighting Satanists, demon possessed people. And what we need to do, what they're doing is they're saying, you're not a real Christian, because real Christians are fill in the blank, right? Like we saw in that church invasion in Minnesota. We need to, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself Christian, you need to get deep. You need to follow Ephesians 6:17, you know, with the sword, arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Christ was tempted by Satan, you know, three times, and the only defense he used was the word of God, and defeated him every single time. You know, if you want to, Sun Tzu, The Art of War, you know, the most famous quote, you know your enemy. And that's as far as anybody goes, but it's really a three-part thing where, you know your enemy as you know yourself. And if you replace self with the word, then you will never know defeat, is the whole quote. I added the word of God, but, you know, just to give an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
what I see these, you know, these street preachers do is they know biblical verses to counter any attack. And I'm going on a deep dive, and I'm looking, you know, into the word to counter some of the arguments, like, for example, love is love. No, love is not love. You know, there's different kinds of love, but it all has to be biblically, you know, spiritually centered. I don't know, you know, like I said, I'm looking myself into the exact verses. I don't know myself. I wish I'd been better prepared, but I'm just now getting into this, and I'll look you up on X, and I'll send you a whole deal on this. They say, well, Christ was an immigrant. Well, no, the whole place was Rome. And there was no immigration anywhere. It was all Rome. Don Lemon says he's a Christian. Then he says, Steven Crowder did a little montage of three things that he said. One of them was, Christ, by his own admission, wasn't a perfect being. What? No. Said, God doesn't judge me. No. I can't remember the third thing. But you get my point. You know, people say, I'm a Christian, but they're not following my Christianity. There's only one Christianity. I mean, there's no, you know, interpretation is what people do, and that's dogma. That's religion. That's not spiritual. That's not the word of God. So what I'm saying is, we have Baal worship, which is abortion. We have Baphomet worship, which is transgenderism. We have statues everywhere in the United States dedicated to these real demons, these real spiritual entities that are at war, you know, that are in league with Satan and maybe fallen angels. I don't know. Who knows? But we are in a spiritual war, and we have to know how to fight. If you don't know how to fight, going back to Sun Tzu, one of the three things he said, if you know the enemy but don't know yourself, you'll only win half the battles. So don't go into it, you know, trying to argue with one of these knucklehead, you know, Satanists without knowing the word of God, or you're going to lose, and they're going to go away with some, you know, their own moral victory. You must know the word of God. You must get deep into the word of God. And if you are interested in fighting the spiritual battle, oh, I'm saved, I'm good to go. No. If you're saved, that means you're going to boot camp, and you better get ready for war. You don't get to sit back and do nothing. That's one of the biggest lies these mealy-mouth churches say is, well, you're saved, so, you know, life is going to be great. No, it is not. That's when everything, you start getting attacked, and you must start defending, and you must start going to war. Get deep into the word, and get ready for war, because it's happening. I mean, you know, Christ said that, you know, you'll be judged for my namesake. You'll be persecuted for my namesake. Well, that's what's happening. These people went into this church in Minnesota, and they persecuted them for Christ's namesake by saying they're not really Christians. You know, there's different ways to, you know, that can be interpreted, different styles and methods of attack. Be ready for it. I fully expect, I don't know, I'm a Marine. If they'd have broke into my church like that and started doing that, I probably would have thrown down, and that's exactly what they wanted, and that would have been their victory. This church, they didn't do that, and that was the church's victory.
I like that. That's a good way to end that. No, I like that a lot, because my gut instinct was, when watching the video, was to go after and grab one of them and snatch them up. But I think you've just put that in a much more eloquent sense rather than what I was instinctively thinking at the time of watching the footage. So Savage Dog, no, we appreciate it. You're 1,000% right. And it's really, really frustrating when they try to sit there and mix these words around, and they try their very best. Like, as I said on this show, I don't understand how Don Lemon considers himself a Christian when he's living a lifestyle of homosexuality. Savage Dog, I'll let you kind of respond to that. But can you be both a homosexual and be a Christian?
Negative.
Yeah.
Once you're saved, that doesn't mean you're it's not a get out of jail free card.
Exactly.
All right. You could be saved. You could say you're saved to be a Christian, but that means that the change starts happening. Repentance means, it's a military term, I think Greek, meaning to turn away, to about face, turn away from. I repent about fornicate, you know, going out and, you know, going to the bar every weekend and hooking up. That means I will not do that anymore. That means I turn away from that. So if you, let's say you, I have no idea. I'm not a homosexual, so I don't know how their brains work. No, I'm serious. It's something that's baffled me for a long time. What is it exactly? Is it demonic possession? Is it a certain kind of temptation? And I've known some that are not, you know, big freaks. They're just basically normal people who just like butts and not, you know. But anyway, biblically speaking, Word of God, no, it's mentioned many times. Mm-hmm. Homosexuality is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sin against the very first commandment of God, go forth and be fruitful. Well, you can't be fruitful if you're putting the plug in the wrong hole, right? You're not going to make the light turn on. I don't know. But I do want to say one thing, though. This church was targeted because they were not armed. Now, my church, I went to a little church here in Georgia, little church, maybe 200 people in at a time, and at least five or six guys were openly carrying, open carry. Nobody would have broken into that church if they'd have done their, quote, recon, because they knew that, you know, they might not get what they want. You know, everybody said, well, Christ said, turn the other cheek. Well, he also said one of his last things he said before being crucified is he told his disciples to go sell your plowshares for swords, you know, or go sell your cloaks for swords. He knew there was a fight coming. He didn't say just be little wusses and let them do what they want to, you know. He said, get ready for the fight, because mm-hmm. the fight's coming.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that. They you know, that's one of these little tricks that they do, like I say, with the false word of God. Nobody knows the Bible like Satan. Nobody. And he knows how to twist, mm-hmm. like, you know, turning God's covenant, you know, to never flood the earth again with a rainbow. They turned it into their symbol of, you know, their gay pride.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He doesn't create. He perverts and flips.
Yeah.
And then causes you to doubt your own knowledge of the word. Can't not let that happen. Once you feel it happen, pray and say, God, no, Holy Spirit, give me the right word. And then you listen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Savage Dog, you're right as always. And we appreciate you calling in. Thank you, my friend, for this moment. I know we usually laugh and joke, but this was a serious moment, and I greatly appreciate you for bringing this to the front lines of all of this. So thank you. Let's turn to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Savage Jug is right. It's the repentance, prayer, and fasting. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if all the individuals that are here protesting for no good reason, and if that were implemented into their lives, how much of a different story, you know, everything would be. And when I say fasting, I'm talking about cleaning the system and what that does. Try a 3, 4, 5-day fast. Get off of SSRIs, because we know that they're on them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that needs to be cleansed here. And the reason that I'm calling is that there's this, I feel it. Maybe you feel it. I don't know. Please let me know if you do, but I feel there's a fatigue that's setting in overall with all of the fraud that exists now and that's been exposed. And don't get me wrong, everybody just keep doing what they're doing, but what more needs to be done at this point? What more needs to be done at this point? How much more fraud and corruption? And specifically with what you talk about with having the big arrest, the big fish,
mm-hmm.
it needs to get there, because that will carry Trump into that. That will carry him past the midterms. But there isn't this patience thing. We can't wait and say, okay, well, we're going to just take our time and do this, because that's what then leads back to, okay, what are we doing? How much more fraud needs to be exposed? What? Why are we sitting on this case? It's a classic example to me is Jim Jordan yesterday during the Jack Smith hearing. Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, the individual that, you know, obviously Michael Fanone, coughing under his breath and swearing. And Jim Jordan just says, we will not have this. And kick him out.
Yeah.
Kick him out of there. Make an example of these individuals. That guy, it doesn't take much to understand that that guy is a thug and you don't have to dig too far or too deep and understand that these individuals, and it just leads to more of, why are you enabling these individuals? Why do we not go through and hold these accountable? And the church is under attack here. I mean, there's factions in churches. You know, you and Savage Dog were discussing this with homosexuality. I mean, there are churches here with pastors that are, you know, it's Catholic. They're, you know, and they're homosexuals. The one that was actually detained by ICE and he made this thing. So how much does that play into what happened over in St. Paul? I mean, it is just endless. It goes on and on and on. And like I said, everybody just keep doing what you're doing. But don't you feel there's a bit of fatigue simply because we're just not getting the big fish?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, Chad, the word that they're using for that nowadays is actually called blackpiller. So if you call it out, if you're exhausted with seeing the same results all the time, you are in fact a blackpiller. It's not going to work out well. I've said before on the show, it's the new conspiracy theorist label. Wanting accountability, the real accountability, wanting these people on the left, because they're so brazen, right? Like, as you just discussed yesterday during the hearing, seeing this guy go out there and be so brazen to curse in a congressional hearing. I mean, I remember specifically Laura Loomer being dragged out, Owen Schroyer getting dragged out of congressional hearings. I don't think they ever cursed, but to see what happened, and they just allowed it to happen. I was waiting to see what was going to happen. I was waiting to see if they were going to drag him out. But they didn't. Why? Well, because, I mean, everyone's a coward, Chad. Nobody wants to be the one to lock someone else up. And so everyone just keeps punting. But Jack Smith, and you know, but the president was watching the hearing yesterday. The president very specific too. Jack Smith, he deems, is a criminal. And to watch what unraveled yesterday, yeah, it was frustrating too. Because it really wasn't like a groundbreaking public hearing. The deposition, we learned more in the deposition that they released the day before New Year's intentionally, right, in the late afternoon. So they didn't want us looking at it, but they have to release it. So, you know, it's all just a theatrical performance at this point, Chad. So thank you for calling it. I appreciate it. We're about to hit a hard commercial break. Folks, if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to have Alex Rosen on the show, and then we'll take a couple more callers after Rosen. So stay right there. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go anywhere, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, because we have incredible savings going on right now. The discounts vary. You have 25% off t-shirts and hoodies, 20% off hats as well. And you get a free t-shirt with any purchase, no minimum required as well. And some of your favorite supplements are on sale right now, anywhere from 45% off to 25% off. So you got to head on over and check it out yourself. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you're going to want to go.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy and he got me on methylene blue and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got four, five, one. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
The American Journal. We're excited you're all here. A lot going on so far for this Friday. A little chaotic. I figured maybe just go a little lighter with this one. You know who I really, and I don't hate anyone besides like pedophiles and communist pigs, but who's more annoying than white liberal women? I think they're actually undefeated in that category. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the main reasons, though, is the fact that they deem shopping at Target as a form of protest. We have footage of what appears to be a protest that just recently happened. And in this footage, you're going to see there's obviously a white flaming liberal, who is filling up a cart full of items at Target. And then she's bringing it forward and then stopping and reading off paper saying that she's protesting ICE as if that was heroic. But take a listen for yourself.
Hi. We're not actually gonna buy all of this. We just loaded up our carts. We're protesting Trump administration. This. Attention, Target shoppers. 2 o'clock now. We're gonna walk out as part of the Free America walkout. We walk away from fascism. We walk towards a free America. We fight for a future that belongs to all of us. Everybody in? Nobody out. Everybody should walk out, including the workers.
Ah, so brave. Including the workers. You guys should clock out. Screw your bills. I don't care if you make $16, $18 an hour and you need this job as your lifeline. No. Quit your job. Clock out. Join us. Join us. That's what we like to call white liberal privilege. They think that this is a form of protest. There's no protest here. And in fact, as a former Target team member back in the day, Comac, New York, I was there, 16 years old. I was the one working over there at the customer service counter. And I could tell you when someone does something like that, that's going to piss you off. Why? Because each of those items needs to go back onto the shelves and likely it's going to be someone who is not paid so well. And this is going to have to do that. The tedious job that sadly someone making $16 or $18 an hour is going to have to do now. So thanks, you white liberal hack, for ruining someone else's day and putting more work onto their plate as if probably life couldn't be worse. Now, the interesting part here is they really think that this form of protest is going to work. In fact, screaming about it in the middle of a Target store as if it's going to change anyone's minds. We're leaving fascism. Okay, great. What is fascism, lady? They never seem to know. They never seem to know. They are just marinating in their own stupidity, and they sit there amongst each other and just keep pitching these really bad ideas off of one another instead of maybe we could do something else. Maybe there's a more effective way of protesting rather than ruining the life of a Target employee. And yes, I did wear red t-shirts and khaki pants. That was my attire. Actually, most of my family worked at Target at the time too. So this woman really hit sore spot for the rest of us who are used to getting those carts, having to unpack them and run around the store and put it back on the shelves. It's obviously not something fun. So on behalf of all of my former and current Target employees, piss off, lady. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a little bit. Alex Rosen will be joining the show. He just caught a bunch of repulsive child predators. These individuals, some of them are even previously convicted. He's gone. He's had them do outrageous things because they think they're about to have consensual sex with children. It's obviously appalling and really infuriating. But, you know, Alex Rosen always has a good touch here where he's trying to add a little humor to these catches. And these are good ones that you're going to stay right where you are for. Also joining the show, Mel Kay, because, well, the World Economic Forum was earlier this week. And in case you missed it, those at the WEF were looking to, well, surprise, surprise, they were looking to replace God. They were looking to replace God. They're doing so with AI, and they're not hiding it. They were actually saying it openly. So we'll be playing that clip for you as well with Mel Kay reacting. So there's a lot to go on over there. So buckle up. More to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, you can head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have incredible discounts going on right now. T-shirts, hoodies, 25% off. Hats are also 20% off as well. And you got tons of discounts on all vitamins, anywhere from 45% off to 25% off. So you got to check it out on thealexjonesstore.com right now to see what the discounts are. And again, you get a T-shirt with every purchase. No minimum required over thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here that we're going to dive into. But, you know, this next segment, it's one of my favorites to do, not because of the subject matter itself, but because of the predators that are being caught. Alex Rosen is doing incredible work with predator poachers, going out there and getting the worst of the worst off the streets. And sadly, it's not something that's being done by local law enforcement or the federal government. They do a little bit, but they don't do enough. And Alex Rosen seems to always highlight that because every day he's catching someone. And his catch rate is just insane at this point. But Alex Rosen, again, is driving all across the country, and he's catching these predators, and his team is doing an incredible job at just that. So let's welcome him into the show. Alex Rosen joins us from Predator Poachers. You can find him on X at iFightForKids. And it is always an honor to have you on the show, my friend. So you've caught a couple of individuals, and we're going to highlight three cases right now and have you walk us through it. But these are all three individuals who have been arrested. One of them actually does have a prior, and it's going to be our first person, but the rest of them have still not pleaded anything right now in court. So I just wanted to lay that out there. But I want to get to Tim Judah. He's a individual who you're saying in a tweet has a prior sex offense in New Jersey, but you met up with him, and he's admitting to having thousands of child pornographic files. How does that happen, Alex? Because I'm told that when they're convicted sex offenders and they're predators, that their devices and everything, they keep their eye on them. So how does someone like him have thousands of child pornographic images on his device?
Well, it looks like he slipped through the cracks. He was convicted in New Jersey when he was 16 years old of molesting a 10-year-old. And to his defense, he told me he thought the 10-year-old was 12. I guess I don't really know how that makes any difference. But, yeah, he got 3 years of probation for it, never saw the inside of a prison cell. And predictably, 30 years later, and who knows if it's actually 30 years later, who knows what he's been doing in those 30 years, he's caught reoffending by trading and viewing and pleasuring himself to child pornography as young as babies and toddlers. On his tablet alone, he said there were thousands of files of child pornography. And, yeah, he, of course, didn't want to go to prison for it. He said he couldn't do prison, and based on his face and what he's going to be in there for, I don't think he can do prison either. But, yeah, unfortunately, he was not quite arrested yet. His devices were taken from him, though. He did not give the passcode to his devices to us or the cops, so they couldn't arrest him for child porn yet because they haven't seen it themselves. However, as soon as they get into the devices, I mean, it's obvious what's on there, and he'll have charges on him very soon.
All right, so that's a key point to all of this. So he has not yet been arrested. But we are waiting to see if they can get into his devices, which I'm sure they'll gain access to see if there is child pornographic images there. But I think it's really interesting that you mentioned that he was 16 when this all went down originally for him. You know, I obviously cover a lot of criminal cases, and when it comes to minors, there seems to be more sympathy in the court system when it comes to them. They think that there's some shots at redemption here, but you've obviously been working and catching the predators for quite some time now. You know, although he was 16 at the time of all of this, do you think that someone like that should be re-released and has a shot at redemption? Or do you think that these are the type of people that just need to be in cages for the rest of their lives?
No, I mean, if you go back to when we were 16, I certainly had no interest in 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds or even 13 or 14-year-olds, really, at 16 years old. And it is genetic like that. It's not like when they suddenly turn 18, they figure out they're a pedophile. They've always been that way. And, I mean, we've put a 17-year-old away, Trevor Sullivan. He's doing 12 years right now in the Texas Department of Corrections, and he was circulating child pornography. And by the time he was 17 years old when we caught him, he admitted to having two victims that were prepubescent in his own family. So, no, these people never change. When Trevor gets out, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to get caught 30 years later like Timothy does. And, no, they're just wired this way. And they're wired to like children. They're wired to go after children. And there is no redemption for these people. The only way to stop them is either lock them in a cage for life or just, you know, the ultimate accountable punishment, which is putting a bullet in them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so strange how controversial that is, that forcing these people, putting them to death is somehow controversial. I deem this as, Alex, and I know you and I agree on the issue, that these are, we're putting animals down. I mean, these are people that we can't allow to be around children. Even if you put them in prison, they're going to likely reoffend. I mean, we hear all these stories all the time of how someone's just arrested, they're apprehended, they're put in jail for a couple of days, and they're sexually assaulted there too. That's because you're putting them with animals. And it, you know, it's just really frustrating on how this idea is somehow controversial, that we need to execute people who commit these types of heinous crimes, even when it's something that's very obvious, right? Because I can understand that sometimes, you know, we don't 100% know, there's no physical evidence, so you might have your doubts there. But when there's physical evidence of DNA inside of a child, I mean, that's all you need to do something like this. Or there's actual footage of the person doing it. That's all you need. And so it's so frustrating, Alex, that we continue to allow them this grace period where we say, all right, well, let them be redeemed and let them go out there and try to do it again. By the way, Alex, I kind of want your take on this one as well, because, you know, I exposed Cletus to TSA. The Biden regime was allowing people into our country who were convicted sex offenders in other countries. And although they knew that they were convicted sex offenders, they'd have them just present a form to TSA to let them to fly on commercial flights without IDs, by the way, which says that they're going to be going to wherever they're going, but they're also going to be taking these classes for predators, as if it's going to be some way to redeem these people. Right now, we have ICE agents who are going around. They're trying to recapture these people who were put back onto our streets because of the Biden regime. How do you feel about this? Because we're watching, and again, you're not really a political person. You are very just down the middle on these issues and truly want to be. And I know you're probably going to argue this, but I deem you as a little down the middle on these issues because it's common sense to me. It's not political. When you're going out there and you're arguing these facts on social media, to me, it's just fair. But how do you feel when you're sitting here watching these left-leaning liberals go out there and try to stop ICE agents from arresting convicted pedophiles, convicted rapists, and they have no care about the actual victims?
Oh, well, one, for the record, I'm very far right. I don't think Trump's deporting enough people, and I criticize Trump from the right perspective. Now, I think I don't like Trump personally, but I love ICE and I love deportations. So I think it's ridiculous, and, you know, it really exposes the left because it shows they will just defend anybody if it's the opposite of what Donald Trump seems to support. It is, I mean, it's truly just insane. I mean, Trump should just come out and say that. If Trump comes out and says he hates pedophiles, the left is going to suddenly start defending the Epstein list. I mean, that's just how these people are. And as for deporting them, I mean, it should be the most common sense thing. Sex offender classes don't work. One, we shouldn't be paying for an illegal immigrant sex offender class. And two, we've caught multiple people either coming out of their sex offender class or that are in sex offender classes. And so none of them work. And what the sex offender class end up doing, kind of similar to when they're in prison with these other people, they talk about their perversions and they get off on it. This isn't like Alcoholics Anonymous where they're all trying to get better. I mean, these sex offenders hear their stories. They have to talk about everything they did. They have to be candid and there's confidentiality. They hear these stories and it gets normalized to them. And that's a massive problem. I don't think there should be sex offender classes because, like I said, it just normalized it for them. And yeah, the whole thing's ridiculous. I think every illegal immigrant needs to get out of here, especially the sex offenders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the big issue here. And by the way, I think that If you're far right, then I'm like far, far right, because I deem you as being a reasonable, nonpartisan person. So, I got a lot of soul searching to do, because I think I might be off the spectrum these days. But Alex, I also want to get to another story too, because, you know, you're catching the worst of the worst. You also recently caught an individual who has since been arrested. Benjamin Godwin is his name, from North Carolina. Now, he came apparently to meet a mother and daughter for sex, but this is what I was talking about when we were teasing you coming on the show today. You add a little bit of a comical twist to all of this, and I kind of want to know where you got this from, but there was a little bit of face painting before this arrest that you see that was going on. Give us some insight in all of this. How did we end up with face painting?
Well, all credit goes to our decoy mom, who plays as a mom, essentially advertising her child. She had the idea to face paint him, because this guy, these pedos are all messed up, but usually they have a story or they have something about them that's pretty unique. We do these phone calls with them. But Benjamin Godwin was the most boring person I've ever talked to. You know, pedo or not, he was just a very unremarkable person. So it was her bright idea to just, like, face paint him before I walked in to talk to him. So, you know, he's just letting all of it happen because he wants to have sex with this 11-year-old kid really badly. So he's just letting them do whatever they want to do just so he can do this. And it's certainly a humiliating end to his normal life for him to get caught with child pornography, meeting an 11-year-old with just ridiculous face paint on your face.
Alex, there was someone on X, and I don't remember what the count was right now. I probably wouldn't even want to promote it, who's going after you for doing this. They actually had more empathy for the guys who were being swept up into your bus rather than the actual victims of all of this, saying that you're just poor idiots who are just dumb enough to fall for your trap. But, I'll let you kind of give the rebuttal here, because I don't deem them as poor idiots who are just falling for traps online. I mean, they're trying to rape children, and you're intervening there. Why is it that people just don't seem to see that?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of women have this weird empathy for just crying. You know, they just, their motherly instincts kick in when they see somebody being dominated in some way and just crying, and they just see him as a lesser person. So their sympathy kicks in. And what that lady doesn't realize, you know, she tries to make excuses for this formerly convicted sex offender throwing a tantrum for getting caught with thousands of child pornography images. She doesn't realize this guy has preyed on more innocent people than him. He's not innocent. This guy's preyed on innocent people. This guy preys on innocent people every day when he pleasures himself to infants and toddlers. And, you know, I guess his little crying charade, which, by the way, had no tears. I was looking at him in the eyes the whole time I was talking to him for an hour. He had no tears coming out of his eyes. She just completely fell for it and just had to assume that he was special needs or something. No, this guy has a full-time job as a toll collector, which probably makes you worse than a pedophile if you're going to steal my money, you know, me being a Jew and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But he's a toll collector. He's a full-time job. And, you know, he has a girlfriend. He has two stepkids with his girlfriend. And now what's very concerning is something he said during this interview that it's not posted publicly yet. But when I ask him about the two kids that his girlfriend has, they're in foster care because, of course, the girlfriend's a terrible caregiver being with him and whatever. So it's a whole mess. They're in foster care. So he's able to be in the parking lot while she visits them once a week. And he didn't say that I haven't touched those kids. Mm-hmm. He said I haven't been able to, which is, I think, is very telling, implying that he thinks about it. He's just not able to do it. And, you know, the fact that this lady has sympathy for this guy, who, by the way, has been on paper as being a pedo for 30 years, it's very sad. And she claims that a lot of these people are mentally disabled that we catch, which, you know, we do about 25 of these a month. There are a small handful, maybe like four or five, who are mentally disabled each month. But we just caught a mentally disabled guy in Midland, Texas, just like 5 days ago. Tyler Carlton, he's currently in Midland County Jail for child pornography. He admitted to molesting both his 4-year-old brother and 4-year-old sister. I don't care if he's mentally disabled. They're not going to look back in, you know, 20 years when they remember what happened and just think, well, the guy's IQ was under 90, so it doesn't count. No, these mentally disabled people just do these evil things and seem to get away with it because of ladies like this. If you are just that crazy to where you know, you can't control yourself, you're insane or whatever, then it's even more of a reason to be in jail, because if you have no control over your actions, you cannot be in society. They don't know when they argue the special needs thing. They're arguing for more prison time for them, not less.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think the goal here is to protect children at all costs. And that being, you know, if you got to throw them in the slammer, I don't care. Do it. Get them out off the streets and out of this this world, truthfully. I want to pivot a little bit, though, as for our last story here, because Thomas McKinley is the individual that you recently caught in Virginia. Now, interesting enough, you're going to have to explain this to me, but you somehow, some way got him to place a condom over his head to impress a child. How did we get here, Alex?
Again, all credit to someone, not me. I got to credit the pedophile Thomas McKinley for this one. I had no idea he was going to do that. I've never seen anyone. I mean, I know what putting a head in a condom is like, but I don't know what doing that with a condom. I don't know what that is. I mean, I don't know. I didn't even know it really happened until I saw the footage after, because I was still in the other room just waiting. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm shocked, but he was sick. I think it's very disturbing that, you know, he just kind of treats it like as a balloon animal for a child. And the way he kind of just opened his eyes and just looked at her doing that, he had terrible intentions. And, you know, he was caught with tons of child pornography that he bought, by the way. He was a child porn buyer. And, he's not good news. Drove 2 hours to the Sting House to have sex with the girl. And, you know, a lot of these pedos are into adults as well and kids. They have no limits is what they call it. But this guy was only interested in the child. Like, to the chats to the mom decoy, he barely said anything to the mom. He was just talking very sexually to the child. And he certainly has a preference, and only a preference, for underage kids, I believe.
It's really disturbing, Alex. It really is disturbing. And, you know, folks at home right now, if you're looking to support work like this, because sadly local law enforcement doesn't do enough, and federal too, to get these perverts off the streets, Alex is donation based, and so if you'd like to support him, you could do so, and his team as well, over at I Fight for Kids. That's where they go. You could subscribe. That's the best way to do so as well. And you got another platform too that I'm drawing a blank on right now. What is the other platform that people can subscribe to, Alex?
It's Locals, but if you want to find just a lot of our stuff, you can go to Predator Poachers on Facebook. We've just started using Facebook. That's PredatorPoachers. It has like 35,000 followers now. And Predator Poachers on YouTube, which we have about like 330,000.
Yeah, your YouTube is popping. Mine is so bad right now. I know you try to help me out, but you guys are great on YouTube as well. So folks, give them a follow on all those platforms and subscribe, because that's how they're able to do what they're doing now. Thank you, Alex, and to your team for doing all of this. We greatly appreciate it, as always. Alex Rosen, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going back to your calls. I know a couple of you have been waiting on hold for quite some time. Let's go to Bulldog, who's been waiting on hold for a bit. Thank you for holding, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Miss Morello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Miss Morello. Getting ready to fight this cold. That's one of the reasons why I was calling. I was just wanting to let everybody know this storm front that's coming in. It's going all the way over to Tennessee. And I just want to let everybody know, check on the people that are most vulnerable in the community. If we get the ice that they're saying that we're going to get from south of Oklahoma City all the way down into Texas, there's a lot of people that's in the rural community, and they're going to need help. I mean, if you got a little extra, you know, put something in the grocery cart and just take care of the people in the community. We got to stick together through things like this. The other thing that I was wanting to talk to you about was Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino going and saying that people are black-pilled. I don't think it's people are black-pilled. I think people are fed up. And I think, you know, if you look at the progression going from white pill, red pill to black pill, that's just emotions. That's one way they're countering our emotions. And, you know, like the CAI talking points, people are conspiracy, you know, conspiracy theories, you know, tinfoil hat wearing people. No, it's because we're awake and we're seeing that there's evil in this world, and evil is running abundant now. It's just been turned loose. Like Savage Dog said, you run up on one of these little rural community churches or any church, you're probably going to get some praying hands put on you. Now, granted, there are going to be hands put on you. People are going to pray for you because they're Christians. But I strongly suggest people, you know, out there that have this mindset that they want to attack the churches, better back off of that, because that's when the cloaks will get traded for swords. And one more thing, just want to say, proud to be an American, and Christ is King.
Yes. Well, Bulldog, thank you. We appreciate it. Now I'm with you on all of those points, especially everything going on right now at the DOJ. I think Americans are frustrated, but most importantly, your advice as we prepare for the storm. Folks, check on your neighbors. I know, you know, people tend to panic in these situations, and if you're prepared, I am one of the preppers, so I don't panic in any situation these days, but if you're one of those who isn't prepared, obviously consider trying your best to slowly purchase up things so you have your own prep ready to go. But most importantly, like Bulldog just told you, check on your neighbors, because there's a lot of people out there who will need your help if power does go out as well. Bulldog, thank you for so much for calling. Also, don't shovel the driveways if you're somebody with a heart condition. I don't know how many times I've sadly have dealt with people who have shoveled their driveways and they pass out, they have a heart attack. You have to be careful with that. I don't think people realize how much energy it takes to shovel a driveway, but if you have elderly neighbors, do not let them do that themselves. Help them out if you can. Bulldog, thank you for calling in. I greatly appreciate it, of course. All right, let's go to Mad Trucker from Ohio. Mad Trucker, what's going on?
How's it going, Brianna?
Good, how are you?
Good. Boy, a lot of stuff. I kind of changed what I wanted to say, but first off, I definitely want to say that all praise and glory to God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you don't know him, ask him to come and reveal himself to you, because that's the only way you're going to make it through life. You got to have him if you don't. So go get him.
Love
and main thing I want to talk about is, you know, I think the Trump administration has been doing a pretty good job. Secretary Duffy's been doing a really good job of getting some of these unlicensed or poorly licensed or illegally licensed drivers off the road. I've seen quite a bit of it going on. That's good. But another thing, and I'm really against government regulation, but that Biden administration brought in all these brokers, and it's a nightmare out there. There's brokers out there that are keeping 50% or more of the rate. And, you know, that's just doesn't make sense. And there's got to be something done there. They got to get rid of some of these, you know, auto pen POTUS brokers out of there, taking too much of the pie. You know, it's ridiculous, especially drivers that are trying to owner operator. I mean, you can't survive. You're basically just keeping your equipment running as it's depreciating, getting older, and then needs replaced, and you don't have the wherewithal to do that. So. Mm-hmm. That something's got to happen on that front. But a couple other things real quick I wanted to say. Men out there, if you got yourself already a good conservative woman, because there are women out there that are good conservative one. I got one. My wife is one. Their value is so far up right now. Make sure you let them know. I mean, they've gone. They are top value. They're the biggest investment and the biggest thing that you have in your life, the most valuable thing. If you got one, you better let her know.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one, good luck, because I'm telling you, the ratio of women to men is probably 2-1 women to men, but good women to men has got to be like 0.5-1 at the maximum right now. So if you're out there and you find one, buddy, you better hold on, because that's the biggest investment in your life, and the most valuable asset you'll ever have is a good conservative woman, because their value's through the roof. You couldn't buy it if you wanted to.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
if you're lucky enough to find one, buddy, hold on.
Well, Mad Trucker, I mean, you are spot on. The best part about conservative women, and there's no penis involved there, so that's also the good news. But most importantly, good conservative unvaccinated women as well. Mad Trucker, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate it, folks. We are up against a hard commercial break. So if you're on hold right now, I just want to thank you for calling into the show. We have Mel K coming up next. So we will try our best next week to take some more callers. So thank you for those who are waiting on hold, of course. Folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just the bits. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. So many items right now on sale. And the best way to find out if your favorite item is on sale is over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free t-shirt with every purchase. No minimum required, of course. And the discounts are all over the place. T-shirts and hoodies are 25% off. Hats are 20% off. And then your vitamins, your favorite vitamin supplements, could be anywhere from 45% off to 25% off. The only way you're going to know if you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
As far as putting words in order is concerned, AI already thinks better than many of us. Therefore, anything made of words will be taken over by AI. If laws are made of words, then AI will take over the legal system. If books are just combinations of words, then AI will take over books. If religion is built from words, then AI will take over religion. This is particularly true of religions based on books, like Islam, Christianity, or Judaism. Judaism calls itself the religion of the book, and it grants ultimate authority not to humans, but to words in books. Humans have authority in Judaism not because of our experiences, but only because we learn words in books. Now, no human can read and remember all the words in all the Jewish books, but AI can easily do that. What happens to a religion of the book when the greatest expert on the holy book is an AI?
Well, obviously, it wasn't short of evil and demonic people over at the Davos WEF meeting that was happening this week. We've been covering extensively, obviously, and speaking to those in Davos. But folks, they're trying to replace God, and you heard it straight from his mouth there. Joining me to discuss, because I know she was fired about this yesterday, is my girl Mel Kay, host of The Mel Kay Show and author of the book. As many of you guys know, it's a great book Mel has up right now. Oh, by the way, give her a follow on Rumble as well, rumble.com/TheMelKayShow. Mel's joining us right now. American Anonymous is the book as well. Oh, Mel, it's a Friday, so the words are a little tough coming out of my mouth this morning, but they'll just have to replace you with AI if they want someone to be a little bit more, let's just say, perfect at this point. But Mel, we're excited to have you on today. You and I were talking yesterday, and you were fired up about what was going on at the World Economic Forum, specifically, though, their replacement of God. I mean, they're just so bold to sit there and say that they're going to replace religion, and they don't even shy away from this. What did you take away from the meetings that were taking place this week in Davos?
Well, you know, even more than that, the whole event is anti-human. The theme to me was from Elon Musk talking about that we're going to have humanoid robots that now take care of our children, our pets, and our elderly. That's part of the essence of being human, is raising your children and caring for your parents and your pets. I don't want to give that up. He was saying basically that there's going to be more robots than humans on planet Earth, and seemed fine with that. That was a good thing. And then also what you're talking about with Harari, this is a long game. This is all about total track and trace surveillance control from birth to death. What's the one thing that we know there is no God involved in? That would be communism. Communism is all about no God. The state is God. The state is answer. And now the state apparently is AI with algorithms controlled by the same people that have created every issue since World War II to keep our country and the world off balance endlessly so that they can implement all of these long-term games that are now coming to a head. And frankly, what we do have to look at here is who chose these people, and none of them are elected. They are all there because of their financial success, and a lot of their financial success was off the backs of American taxpayers. Certainly, the controlled demolition and consolidation of the banking system in 2008, for which nobody was held accountable. In fact, it was consolidated, and those people ended up being rewarded, to tell you the truth. So what we really have to realize is that this is not a, they're not coming there to tell us that this is coming in the future. They're coming there to tell us that we have no choice. This is how it's going to be now. And I sent you another clip by the king of Davos. That would be Larry Fink. And the big issue with Larry Fink, because we're tokenizing everything, we're going on the blockchain, there's going to be one unified ledger. This is all Agenda 2030. This is it. And that's why I keep saying to everyone, with all of the AI and all of the technology and all these partners from Google to Palantir to Elon Musk to Oracle, they are partners in the global public infrastructure, the entire world's infrastructure. So what I keep saying to people is, Where is the sovereignty of the United States of America? Where is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, national sovereignty, individual liberty, all these things that matter in America? Where is that in this cyberspace, this global unified ledger of the global public infrastructure, which has been built for years? This is not new. They are just coming out and introducing it as if this is what we have to do. Well, I have information for them. No, we don't have to do any of it. And frankly, yesterday I was watching the head of the Fed from Minneapolis, of all places, and he said in a speech at Columbia, he doesn't understand what the benefit of the central bank digital currency is. We already have Venmo. The only benefit could be that there's zero privacy left in any transactions or basically anything you do. And that is the whole plan. So we have to really take a step back as American citizens who still believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and national sovereignty, which is the biggest battle here, and say, no, 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 this isn't going to be given to the American people. It's going to be up to us to decide if we want this future. And for me, their utopia that they're pitching is our dystopia. Their, you know, unlimited control over the universal ledger and all of that is a digital panopticon. And as you saw this morning, our own government just voted to have kill switches and surveillance in our cars. That is never anything that the United States government should be doing to anyone. I mean, we are so past the point of the Constitution and Bill of Rights having a, you know, leading edge over everything in the world in the United States that keeps us the United States, free, liberty, autodetermination, prosperity, property ownership. They're taking it apart because what they are selling is global technocratic communism on a global scale. And that's what they want. A lot of these people did not hide it at all at Davos.
Yeah, and like you just said there, there was 57 House Republicans that also sided with that to make sure that the government can shut off your car if they want to. Folks, this just adds to the argument that it's not just two separate parties that we're working with here. It's a uniparty, and that they all side with this. There's no legitimate reason for this besides the fact that they've all been bought off. And there were so many of these people who I was surprised who didn't make their way to Davos this year. But we even heard Tom Tillis, even when he was there, I know there was a reporter who confronted him on the ground. And he said that he is, his caucus is with the WEF. So they're not even hiding where their alliances. They pretend like they're Republicans, but again, it's all the same thing here. And it's just really frustrating. But Mel, there was a big difference though this time in Davos, and Klaus Schwab wasn't running the show this time. It was two individuals, who we're familiar with. Obviously the CEO of BlackRock, and then there was a big pharmaceutical company, CEO that's also running the show and all of this. What did you notice the differences were this year around?
Well, first of all, Larry Fink was very tentative in his opening, but he did admit that this was an elite gathering of the people that control the world, and that they have to regain the trust of the people. Well, how exactly do you do that when you're telling the people that they have no choice about this dystopian surveillance future that they have been planning? Again, I have said many times, how come the American people have not questioned why trillions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer pension funds go through BlackRock, and at the same time he is leading the World Economic Forum push to Agenda 2030, which I noticed as I watched the EU, particularly Canada, side in on the world stage with the communist technate known as the Chinese Communist Party and China, that frankly we are being forced into a situation where the people are walking eyes wide open into something they don't seem to fully get. Agenda 2030 is a nation state ending track and trace surveillance technocracy model for birth to death of all people, all resources, of all everything in the hands of a very small group of people out of Geneva, Davos, Wall Street, and the city of London, I guess. And at this point, we have to be honest, post-World War II, the infrastructure supranationally was built. It's my belief that the Dulles Brothers, State Department, CIA, all of that was created to protect that supranational, basically financial structure that is really predatory and parasitic on the people of this planet. And we have to start saying, no, this is not the way we're going to go. And that means in everyday life, rejecting it. You know, people walk up, they give their eye scans at the airport, not even questioning all the stuff we've seen with TSA and the list. Like, why are you trusting the government with any of this stuff? And that's the thing. They're pushing us into a place where they're saying we have no choice. And the most, I just want to mention, the most disturbing panel of them all in my mind, was Randy Weingarten. I call her Mal Weingarten, but Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, which I've been telling people for years is completely infiltrated by the global, it's the International Labor Organization under the United Nations, which of course is exactly what it sounds like, but also Education International. This is the world curriculum. That is what she does. That is who she works for. That is why she kept our schools locked down. That is why all of that. And she was on the panel with Gretchen Whitmer, of course, who has two people in jail for her fake kidnapping still. And they were talking about melding the education. She said there's 100,000 public schools in the United States, and she wants to learn and figure out how to meld industry and the World Economic Forum into our school system in the United States of America, so that somehow now people, children, when they graduate from high school and college, will have jobs that can pay for their lives. A and B aren't related, and in fact, they're the opposite. So to me, the fact that the head of the teachers union is up there basically selling out our entire education system, which was sold out long ago. Anyone that got put on remote learning on during the lockdowns got a dossier open on them, and that's our children, with about 15 stakeholders, including Google, who is not on our side and who is a global entity of the World Economic Forum, along with their fake encyclopedia there, Wikipedia. But what we're dealing with now is an open admission by the head of the teachers union that the education is no longer for growth and entrepreneurship and critical thinking and skills and learning and all. It's really just about creating automatons for this Agenda 2030. And at this point, I don't understand how we don't have a big referendum in America to abolish the teachers' unions. They are not American anymore. They haven't been for a long time. They, frankly, are community organizers that are completely aligned with the global communism push of technocracy. And I've had it. And also, if you don't know that there was such a, what has happened to our children since COVID is so sad, but the education and the level of cognition and all of that is so destroyed because of the AI that is already being used. And now they want to push AI completely into school and have every child have an AI tutor. You know, Bill Gates talks about it. In fact, Melania talked about it last week. I think that this is a terrible idea. Education until about, you know, 10 years ago, every generation became smarter, more educated, more able, more skilled until about 10 years ago, and it's been declining. What we are supposed to be doing for our children is giving them tools to outdo us. And it's gone totally the opposite direction. And there is nothing wrong with traditional education. Everything wrong with AI education, especially when it's controlled by the World Economic Forum and their industry partners, as Randy Weingarten said, at the World Economic Forum. That has nothing to do with America or education. And that's why we have to end the Department of Education. I would end the teachers unions, but give education back to local authorities and states where it belonged. It never belonged. This is all part of Brzezinski and Kissinger's plan. Don't forget, it wasn't until Brzezinski and Carter were in the White House that we even had a Department of Education. And you can go back to the Rockefellers in the 30s, circumventing higher education, but certainly K through 12. And now we don't even know where the CCP ends and the World Economic Forum and the UN begins in our universities or in our K through 12 schools. So we got a big problem with education, and her being on the stage there was the most disturbing of all of the panels to me. I can reject everything else, but somebody who's controlling the education system and the growing socialist progressive teachers union that is so far off the reservation when it comes to our children, really should be the biggest wake-up call for everyone in America to understand we have been captured by this global public-private partnership and their international banking cartel. And I believe Trump's trying to dismantle it. And there was a lot of talk. This really, the distraction here was that this was really about the currency economy and the central bank digital currency being forced on us, which, again, Donald Trump promised we would not have in our country and certainly would not be connected to one universal global ledger. But Larry Fink was saying the exact opposite. So the American people have to start asking for, you know, answers here. And does the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our national sovereignty still matter if we are going into this Agenda 2030? And don't forget, over and over, they were bringing up 2050. Well, that is China's Agenda 2050. So you really got to keep an eye on this. And it was really disturbing to watch the EU and Canada bow to China. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand that China is a country that believes that China is first and that they will be taking over the world. They say it in their own speeches and their own documents and their own 2050 plan. And it looks like, you know, Canada just signed up for it and the EU is opening the door. Well, great. Well, then we pull out. And that we are still in the Five Eyes sharing of intelligence is a disgrace when you look at what these people are saying. We shouldn't be sharing intelligence with people that are not on the side of freedom.
Mel, that is incredible because it's true. And you know, the fact is that we're still, and you can hear that things are getting kind of rough between us and the UK as well. I mean, we were watching as the comments were kind of pouring in a little bit. And their own prime minister, he's not siding with Trump on a lot of these issues. And again, he was voicing concerns about even joining the Board of Peace. And he's like sitting standby and kind of, and just didn't make any sense when you were going through it all. But there was something else that happened. And I thought this was really telling. You know, Jared Kushner is someone who I know a lot of Trump supporters were excited to see that he wasn't going to be campaigning with the president, that he was taking a stand out of politics. But he found his way over the WEF this week. And it's concerning because the Board of Peace sounds good, but then he's got this whole fantasy plan for Gaza. And so many conspiracy theorists were out there saying that the goal here is just to rebuild and to get all these big investors richer and richer and to build up this Gaza Strip, their dream. But the reality of it is Jared Kushner's back there pushing this. It makes me a little on edge when I watch him talk about what his plans are for Gaza. What do you make of all of this? Because I think it's concerning that he's front and center. And again, I don't even see this being realistic, but this was what everyone was talking about when they criticized Israel for what they've done. This is what they said what the goal was. And it looks like Jared Kushner is showing us this.
Well, what have I told you all along? The war in Israel had nothing to do with Israel or the Palestinians or the people of Israel. It had to do with that land. And don't forget about the port there and the strategic location of that port that they're going to build. But also, I just want to say, this is going to be a total technate. They're not even hiding it, that it's going to be a total technocracy-run place. But also, don't forget, the main partners now, it looks like, are Qatar, Turkey, and Egypt. So this is a real game change. I have to say this is unprecedented. But what they are building there, and I hate to say this because people don't fully get it, this is already built also in Ukraine and probably anywhere else that they're destroying and pretending to come in and save the day. They're rebuilding as technates, which means Internet of Body, Internet of Things, full track and trace surveillance, full drones, full everything's connected, and everything is overseen by algorithms and AI. They're slowly but surely doing that. I also want to say that something came out that was not really explicitly put out there during the entire hellish situation that happened in Israel, which was that Hamas it still controls that area, or did until recently, and they were they had to be approving anyone that went into the Gaza Strip during the entire war. And frankly, Hamas is a Muslim Brotherhood funded terror organization. And it looked like the three places that Muslim Brotherhood were pointed out in America to be the terrorist wings of the Muslim Brotherhood happened to be Turkey, Egypt, and Qatar. So what you're seeing here is something where it appears to me there's been some kind of agreement to turn this into some kind of also experiment of technocracy. So that, again, this doesn't seem much like a rebuilding of Gaza as it is of a total reconfiguring of that piece of land for a globalized future. And I've said this from the start, I don't think the Ukraine war, nor do I think the Israel war, had anything to do with either of those countries. It's all about the global public-private partnership, the international banking cartel, and keeping control. And most of all, don't forget, NATO's history has been very obscured to the American people. It should have ended decades ago. We pay, I believe, $900 billion worth of NATO. And frankly, NATO is not a defensive force, and they continue to have have wars everywhere around the world that NATO's involved in to continue justifying NATO's existence. I think it's time for the American people to be briefed on exactly what NATO is, what it does, because at this point, if the UK and the EU and Canada are siding with China, NATO is over. And you know what? Without America, they all know that they can't defend themselves. So why are we still playing this game? We fought a war in 1776 to be an independent nation. Right now, I don't care about anything. I want to have great relationships with everyone in the world. But in terms of, I would like America to be independent again, and all these Atlanticist groups from Chatham House and Council of Foreign Relations, which is probably the most powerful. We know that Henry Kissinger had more loyalty to Chatham House than to the, you know, anyone in the United States from what he said himself. But a lot of these people have acted like America, particularly after World War II, was not separate from Europe. We are separate from Europe. In fact, we paid for the EU. We paid for the entire, the taxpayers of the United States have been looted and lied to pay for the entire Cold War, which was a war against communism that kept changing the enemy. Then we paid for the entire war on terror, which of course was a war on a tactic that was eventually turned on us in America. And then we paid for the entire globalist nonsense experiment since Bill Clinton. And never forget that it was George Soros that wrote the NATO World Order that convinced Bill Clinton to expand NATO. He bombed Yugoslavia for no reason that I could see at all. And then he, at that bombing in Yugoslavia, he hit the Chinese embassy by accident. And the deal after that was to allow China into the World Trade Organization. And from that point on, we were distracted by Monica Lewinsky while they were selling out our entire country to China. So there's decades of lies that the American people deserve to know the truth about so that we can decide for ourselves what we want for our future. We have a constitutional republic, and that means that we, the people of the United States, pick representatives to represent us, not whatever is going on in D.C. And as I said, Brianna, the best thing that could happen right now is that Scott Bessent, who is right now the temporary head of the IRS, does a full and complete people's audit of all of our representatives that are elected in the House and Senate from 2020 forward. Trillions of dollars left this country and disappeared. Now they're voting to track and trace surveillance. They're voting for warrantless 702 surveillance. They're voting to turn off our cars. They are not on the side of liberty, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or national sovereignty or individual sovereignty. So something is very wrong, and we need to find out who's paid for and by whom. And, you know, if Bernie Sanders is out there, like, end States United and all this stuff, fine. End all the money in politics, if you ask me, and make lobbying totally illegal. End these think tanks, and let's audit everyone in there and make sure that the people that work in the United States of America to represent we the people, which is their job, are representing us, because they're not. Right now, they're representing Davos and the international banking cartel and keeping endless war happening for profit, because they all make out in the Reconstruction. It's the same model Smedley Butler talked about in World War One. All wars are bankers' wars, especially the ones that have gone on in the last 4 years.
Yes, girlfriend, you got that right. You got that right. Before you go, Mel, I got to ask you, because we saw something pop up at the WEF as well, and I wanted to know if you were going to be making an account anytime soon, but the World Economic Forum is trying to compete with X, and they've created this new social media platform called W. We have it for you guys here. This is incredible. Like, we've all been waiting for this. Can't wait to join. Mel, have you made an account yet? We got about 30 seconds.
No, but I will be sure to make an account there. It is so ridiculous. It is so over the top. This is what Larry Fink thinks regaining the trust of the people looks like. No, regaining the trust of the people is giving us back our countries and letting us move forward as an independent nation. Make America independent again and let us have relationships around the world that aren't based on fraudulent treaties from, you know, 50 or 100 years ago. This is a 100-year plan that needs to end. And thank you to the people from, I believe, Trump's financial people that were out there telling them globalism failed and we're done.
Yes. Mel Kay, thank you for joining. And folks, give her a follow on X, the Mel Kay Show, the best one you're going to see out there. Give it a follow. I'll see you next week.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. We'll be right back. the receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.